talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hallelujah, anyhow. Come on in, out the heat in the name of Jesus. Get out the heat, man. Come on in. Come on in and let the Lord breathe some air conditioning on you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? I'm over here at Lisa May's house. I'm looking for these naked pictures, but I can't find them. But wait a minute. There's a box in her bed. What the heck is this stuff like? Oh, my gosh. This thing's got two heads on it. What the heck? There's a hand crank on this one. Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. That'll take out an eye. What the? Wait, there's one. What the heck? That'll leave a mark. Oh, my goodness.
And now.
Ooh. I like that more than I thought I would.
Our feature presentation.
That guy had sound effects.
Oh, my goodness. I like the end.
He's well prepared, yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:31. It's a Tuesday morning.
Although, I'm not suggesting he was actually in your house, but I suspect that Lisa May has quite a toolbox under her bed, don't you think?
Well,
I know she has a jam box.
You will recall that I belong to the Vibrator of the Month Club
a while. Oh, right. Yes.
So I was getting one every month. So
sure.
I do have quite a collection.
I bet you do. Yeah. Hey, here's one of your worst nightmares.
Excellent.
You're Lori Ubelstead, and you're driving your good-looking Kia Sorento around Missouri, and the accelerator gets stuck.
Bad.
Let's envision that for a moment. Let's envision what happens when your accelerator gets stuck and the car does nothing but speed up and you can do nothing to stop it. How's that go for you?
Poorly?
And potentially poorly for the people around you.
She had a push-button start, so she couldn't just turn the car off with a key. The brakes all burned up. She couldn't get any of the gears to shift. Here's a little bit of the report from KNBC Channel 4 yesterday.
A woman's harrowing ordeal now behind the wheel. Her accelerator got stuck. Her speeds hit 120 miles an hour. NBC's Mara Schiavacampo has details.
And by the way, 120 miles an hour is well past when most people are comfortable navigating, especially in traffic. That is, that's stopping and starting. I mean, you're basically going around everything that you can. You're driving in the median. You're driving the wrong way down roads. You're doing everything you can to not hit something, right?
Yeah, you can control that for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be stunned when you hear how long this went on.
It was 35 minutes of sheer terror.
Wow.
I'm going like 80, almost 90 miles an hour. What a death to me. And I'm scared to death.
A 47-year-old Iowa mom hurled down the highway, her Kia Sorento completely out of control and gaining speed fast. The accelerator jammed.
Are you able to hit your brakes at all?
We've tried everything.
Okay. Have you put your car in neutral?
I can't get it to move.
The car was unstoppable. Ulvasad swerved erratically to avoid other cars.
I'm coming up on a bunch of cars.
Okay.
Okay.
That is so scary.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah, calm down. Easy for you to say, lady sitting in the 911 center, by the way.
I like when she says, I'm coming up on a bunch of cars. The woman goes, okay.
And by the way, doesn't she sound unbelievably calm for a woman who's speaking to the 911 operator while she's going 100 plus miles an hour?
Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
It must not have been very much traffic, or she couldn't have done it for 35 minutes.
No.
There were areas where there wasn't much traffic. There were areas, I mean, I saw a lot of this video. There were areas where there was a lot of traffic, where, like I said, she just had to go around it. You
Sweet.
Know? And she had some very close calls. Wait, there's more.
Ulvestad's car continued accelerating, hitting speeds as high as 120 miles per hour.
Oh, God, I have two semis.
She's got two semis. Okay, calm down.
She's also, 911 operator's also on the phone with the police. You know, they're trying to clear the road, basically. I mean, that's the best case deal, is you get those cars ahead of you to pull over. Right,
of course.
So there, she's also talking to the police around her.
Within minutes, state police arrived and attempted to divert traffic out of her way.
Okay, Lori, you see them? They're in front and one's in back of you?
I'm going to hit the pavement!
For 59 miles and 35 minutes, Ulvestad desperately dodged traffic. Finally, troopers advised she pull the accelerator and hit the brake at the same time, a winning combination that finally slowed the car to a halt.
59 miles.
Amazingly, Ovestad didn't hit a thing, and no one was hurt. She finally climbed out of the car, shaken but safe.
59 miles, and she didn't hit anything.
I would have crawled out of the car.
Sign her up for NASCAR.
Dang.
Seriously. What, you would have tried to jump from the car while it was moving, Lisa?
No, I mean at the end I would have.
Oh, at the end. But, oh, you know, she fell into the trooper's arms.
Yeah. But I would have thought about that. If there was a place where I could send the car off without hitting somebody and roll out, I definitely would have thought about that.
But at 120 miles
an
hour.
Well, not at 120.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure when the thing first stuck, she thought, oh, I'll be able to solve this in 10 seconds.
Right. You know, you always think that.
Probably got out of control way faster than she realized, and then you're stuck. I mean, then you're in the speed movie all of a sudden, right?
Now, how did they solve it?
They said accelerator and brake at the same time, which is weird because the article that I read said that the brakes had burned out, but for whatever reason, that seemed to release it. And, of course, the car company, Kia, is looking into it and saying it's an isolated incident so far, but they're going to investigate and check out that car and see if they can figure out what went wrong. But, man, who among us could handle that? It is a miracle.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Crazy, crazy story.
She must have been hands-free.
It's not my fault.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Micho, shall we?
That sounds really constructive.
Thank you. On today's program, we're going to talk to somebody from The Hollywood Reporter who is sadly mistaken about the fact that TLC is ruining America.
The Freak Show Network?
Yes, the Freak Show Network. Or we saw the guy with the giant growth on his face. Remember that dude?
I couldn't live without seeing that guy.
That's what I'm saying.
That makes my life better.
Man with the World's Largest Testicles on that channel?
Yes.
Tonight, a woman with two heads?
Yeah, that's right.
What?
Come
one
on.
One body, two heads is tonight, yep.
You're kidding?
Unbelievable.
It's the best network there is.
It's Appointment TV.
And Honey Boo Boo Child, too, by the
That's
way.
That's right.
On TLC. Don't take away our TLC.
Come on now. Take it easy. Shane Sattersfield is going to be on the show talking about Madden NFL 13, which I believe comes out tonight at midnight.
Oh, okay.
I
want to
say. You're not going to believe. If you haven't seen the TV show OSIT, SIT, if you haven't seen that TV show.
Well, it's certainly a great name for a show.
You won't believe that it exists, but it sure does. Sure does. Sure is on TV.
Is it on TLC?
No, it's on a network.
Huh.
Crazy enough. I'll get that. What was that?
I dropped a spoon. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
It was a spoon, by the way. It was a spoon that fell out of my cereal bowl. Thank you.
Snooki had her baby. We'll delve into that a little bit more.
Oh, God. Okay.
This song Gangnam Style, which is one of the most bizarre songs ever from South Korea, we have to get into a little bit. We're going to talk.
Gangnam Style.
Come on with that,
sweeping
right?
The world.
We're going to talk to a reporter from South Korea, I believe, who's trying to make sense of things for Americans, and she's going to explain things to us.
Okay.
But that is a crazy, crazy runaway worldwide hit for this guy. And all because he dances like a horse.
It's the new Chacarón.
It is. And we have our friend and comedian Joe Rogan in the studio today. Very excited about that. He's always fantastic when he comes in. So that is on tap for today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, Ralph?
You're right. It is Tuesday. You know how I know it's Tuesday?
How do you know?
Because it's new release day.
Ah, love
That's when we take a look at the new CDs and DVDs that are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up. Say you were so desperately looking forward to seeing Battleship in the theaters.
That was better than I thought.
Oh, stop it.
It was.
Alexander Skarsgård, Liam Neeson, Rihanna, of course, stars in the film. It's available on DVD today. You can check that out. But let's say you're Bean, and you just get yourself a brand new bottle of Jergens, and you don't know what to do with it. Well, The Lucky One, starring Zac Efron, is released today on DVD.
Yeah, I missed that in the theater.
Oh.
That's the noise he makes.
For that one.
Yeah.
Think Like a Man. I guess that's that Steve Harvey movie. Think
yeah.
Like a Man, Act Like a Woman.
Romantic comedy, right?
Right.
Drool Like a Child. No, I think that was the full title. The Pirates, Band of Misfits. Hilarious stop-motion animation film from the people who brought you Wallace and Gromit. It's available today with Hugh Grant and Jeremy Piven, Martin Freeman, Salma Hayek doing the voices. Starship Troopers Invasion, the animated sequel to the Starship Troopers franchise, is available today. TV shows on DVD. Walking Dead, complete second season.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sons of Anarchy, season 4. Homeland, the first season. Boardwalk Empire, the second season, and Jersey Shore season 5. Why in the hell would you want to get a box set of a Jersey Shore season?
You can barely make it through the TV show.
But what would you possibly see in season 5 that you didn't see in season 4, 3, 2, or 1?
Extras.
No. CDs on new releases today, just the one. Havoc and Bright Lights by Alanis Morissette. New Alanis Morissette music. I'm always a big fan of hers. I think she does good work, so I may be picking that up myself. Little Ahern in the news today.
She manages to make it in the news every day.
Well, you know why? Because she keeps stealing stuff.
What?
Allegedly.
Here's the thing. Remember I told you she was at a party in the Hollywood Hills? She spent the night there. When everyone woke up the next day at the party, the host, the man who lived at the house, said, "Hey, my watches and sunglasses and jewelry are all stolen. About $100,000 worth of high-end stuff."
Wow, I didn't realize it was that much.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the cops were called, and they interviewed Lindsay because she was a suspect initially, and then the two men that she brought to the party apparently were also suspects. And she said, "Am I a suspect?" They said, "Well, no, not really right now," the cops said. She said, "Whatever with you." Refused to talk to him, then jetted off to New York.
Right.
Then weird development. This guy called the LAPD back and said, "Oh, no, never mind. Nothing was stolen."
What?
Yeah.
The guy that had the party, the $100,000?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing was stolen.
Well, he recanted his story, but okay, said nothing was stolen. But the cops apparently are not closing out the investigation because they believe they have independent witnesses who can still name Lindsay and her assistant Gavin Doyle as the thieves.
Really?
Yes. Now, why this guy, Sam Magid is his name, who apparently is insanely wealthy, suddenly changed his tune, that remains to be seen.
Did Lindsay call him?
Maybe there's some sort of deal that has been brokered. But cops seem to think there are witnesses who would identify them as the thieves. Cops today contacted lawyers for Lindsay and Gavin, her assistant, asking for an interview with the two suspects, but apparently their legal team rejected the request. LAPD is not taking kindly to these shenanigans, and they continue to investigate, according to sources, according to TMZ.com. Here's the thing. She's on probation still for that theft case involving the necklace at that jewelry store in Venice. If she stole something, that would be a violation of her probation. That would mean
right back to jail.
That's my jail cell door sound effect right there.
It's not great, I got to be honest.
All right, well, whatever.
How about this?
Jail. That's better. I don't know if the story is not. I'm guessing it's probably not. But if it is or isn't, this is a masterclass in how to pick up a chick.
Okay.
So everyone take note. They are attributing it to Johnny Depp, Star Magazine is, who says Johnny Depp is a master at picking up women. Well, yeah, he's Johnny Depp. If I looked like Johnny Depp, right, I'd be a master at picking up women, too. You know what I'd say? Let's have sex. And then women would say, yes, okay, you're Johnny Depp.
Right. The rest of us, when we say that, they go, get away from me.
That's why I'm suspect about the story. But regardless, this is a genius technique.
Okay.
Johnny was at a restaurant with friends, having a delicious dinner, and apparently the pretty blonde waitress caught his eye, according to this story. He left his cell phone at the table and left the restaurant.
Oh.
The blonde waitress found the cell phone on the table and immediately ran after him out into the parking lot to give it back to him.
Right.
Johnny ended up getting her phone number in the ensuing conversation that led from that ice-breaking incident of her returning the cell phone. And sources are saying he left it there on purpose that she would chase back after him and he would have an opportunity to engage her
pretty
and get
smart.
Her phone number. Is that genius?
It is, but if you or I did it, we'd just stand outside the restaurant all night waiting for somebody to come
out. No, I bet you, just out of reflex, a waitress would automatically say, "Oh my God, that dude left his cell phone here," and she would try to catch you and give it back to you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I used to do it all the time when I worked in the restaurant business. Did
you?
People who were not attractive at all. If they left keys or wallet or phone or something on the table, I would always try to catch them before they left the venue and give it back to them. It's just a nice thing to do.
Pretty smart.
So that's the perfect entree into a conversation that can lead to digitalis, baby.
Could I have your phone number so I could thank you properly?
Boom! Hmm.
It seems risky for a celebrity to do because the waitress might be more interested in seeing what's on Johnny Depp's phone and getting celebrity phone numbers off of it rather than chasing him into the parking lot.
Class F empty.
Being just ruining everything for everyone.
I'm just saying,
once
let's
again.
Be logical about this. Johnny Depp's phone would be worth a lot to somebody.
Johnny Depp would be worth more to somebody.
Yeah. Unless he has some sort of other phone that he uses just as his decoy.
Yeah, this is his lead behind in the restaurant phone.
See?
It's not even connected.
God sakes, Columbo. Just enjoy the story, will you?
Excuse me, can I ask you a few questions? Bean has to figure out the... It doesn't make logical sense. Can I get a graph or a pie chart? Someone have a map of this restaurant?
That would be very helpful, actually.
Simon Cowell thinks he's a genius.
He's always thought that.
I know. He does not lack in the confidence department.
No, he's not afraid to share it either.
Sources involved with the X Factor TV program says he thinks his choices for co-host for that show is a genius decision. The on-screen chemistry of the two hosts will breathe new life into the program and bring in a hip young audience, Simon says.
I was underimpressed.
Did you know who he picked?
I have no idea who he picked.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Kelly Osbourne and Glee's paraplegic Kevin McHale.
Okay.
I am not bowled over.
Nor am I.
By the choices. But Simon seems to think the chemistry between the two of them is just going to rock the television world.
So they're the hosts of The X Factor.
Yes.
Dude.
I know. Could you be less interested in watching any two people introduce people?
Not really.
No.
Kelly Osbourne and Kevin McHale.
This Wheels kid, I'm telling you, Ralph, you didn't see any of the Teen Choice Awards. It was the worst hosting I've ever seen of any award show. And I just can't believe that he's going to be able to be good on The X Factor.
On a weekly basis?
I don't think he's got it in him.
Yeah. And while we're talking about Simon, real quickly, when he is away from home, he likes to have the comforts of home, as many of us do when we travel.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the UK, spends a lot of time here in the States. He's got homes here, I'm sure. But when he is traveling for the audition sequence in the X Factor, he's got a tour bus. Now, a lot of people travel in tour buses when they go on the road. Not like this one. Interesting story on RadarOnline.com that breaks down the inside of his tour bus, which features a movie screening room.
Love it.
A deluxe kitchen with granite countertops, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, a mobile medical unit.
What?
Is he a hypochondriac?
The mobile hospital alone sent him back $150,000 to have it built into the tour bus.
How bad is his health?
I have no idea.
Huh.
Is he Stephen Hawking?
Yeah.
He's one of those crazy guys who drinks that weird combination of juices and powders every day. Like, that's half of his diet or something.
Oh, really?
So maybe he's got people whipping stuff up in the lab for him as he drives.
Anyway, how much do you think the bus cost?
Wow.
Oh, I can't imagine. I was going to say $1 million based on what you've described, Ralph.
Why don't you double that? A $2 million tour bus.
Wow.
The upkeep alone. I think every week, just to keep the coach running, how much do you think he spends?
$20,000?
$9,000 a week. That's just in maintenance. That's just in keeping it gassed up and staffed and going. $9,000 a week after he paid $2 million for the bus.
Wow!
He pays an additional $9,000 a week in upkeep.
But you're comparing that to what we have. Compare that to what he has. It's not all that much.
I don't know. $2 million for a bus.
Did he use this for 6 weeks?
Yeah. Look, nice to be rich.
Sure.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Luis Guzman. Super talented character actor, one of Jay Moore's favorites. He loves to do his Luis Guzman impression. From Boogie Nights, Traffic, many films. 56 years old today. Daniel Stern, very talented actor, is 55. Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom. She's 51. Shania Twain, the country singer, is 47 years old today. That's a strong 47, by the way. Jack Black of Tenacious D, our buddy Jack, celebrates his 43rd birthday. Jason Priestley is also 43 years old today. Max Collins, singer bassist of Eve 6, is 34. Leanne Rimes. Someone get her a cut, man. She is 30 years old. And Florence Welch, of course, of Florence and the Machine. She celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's one thing you know about me. It's sometimes I just have to dance, right? I mean,
that is true.
That's me in a nutshell. If you had to describe me being in just one sentence, it's sometimes that dude just has to dance, right?
Absolutely, and especially to this song.
It's the new runaway sensation from South Korea.
Certainly is.
Gangnam Style.
Somehow it's taken over the world. We featured it on an internet roundup a little ways back, and it has over like 60 million views or something.
Oh my god.
He's, It is crazy. There does come every three or four times a year a song comes along that you just can't get out of your head. You hear it, it seems like one time and you're stuck with it. And this is the one right now. We wanted to find out more about this artist, Psy, and what's going on in the crazy world of K-pop and what exactly is going on in this video. So we got an offer to get DramaFever.com on the show, which we're very excited about. Dan Acton joins us from DramaFever.com. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Doing well. I was intrigued to take a look at your website, and I should mention that you show videos from all over the world, things that are not readily available for U.S. consumers, television programs, movies, things like that from Asia. You stream them on the website, right, which is a pretty cool service.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of like an Asian version of Hulu, so we kind of take the best of programs from Hulu, translate them into English, and you can watch it for free.
Awesome. What's going on with your phone, Dan? What's that deal? Are you actually underground in Korea right now?
Oh, is the phone line really bad?
Well, it just it has a pulse on it.
Oh, sorry. I'm feeling the beat.
Sure. Yeah. Now, I do have one question because I was watching this guy, Psy, P-S-Y. I was watching his performance of Gangnam Style on your website, and it had closed caption, but it was in South Korean. How does that help me? I can hear it's in South Korean. I don't need to see the words in South Korean. I need to see the words in English.
Well, these lyrics are very profound, and sometimes you just need to read them in Korean and see them in Korean. Like, a lot of times, shows overseas will do that. They'll have captioning right along with the voices to kind of underline, kind of punch up the jokes and add to the entertainment value.
Tell me about Psy. Is he already a big pop star, or is this his first big break into the music scene over there?
He's kind of been around for a while. He's pretty well known as a comedian, a rapper, musician. But this is definitely like his huge break. Like if you watch the video, you might notice like there's a lot of, if you know the Korean pop world, there's a lot of like awesome Korean pop star cameos in that. So he's been around for a while.
So some of those dancers and some of the people, like that guy in yellow that gets out of the car in the basement or whatever when they're dancing, he's another star himself?
Yeah, he's like a huge comedian in Korea.
Oh, how about that? Now, how come he dresses like the dear leader Kim Jong-il in this video? Or do all pop stars dress like him?
Well, you know, like... he does have the sunglasses, you know. It's a totally different country, of course.
Sure, of course.
So, I think I like to follow Psy's pop. Psy makes a lot better music videos than Kim Jong-il ever did.
Well, we put up three videos at kevinandbean.com if you want to go there right now. One is his original video, which is fascinating to watch. The other is a Dodger Stadium. They played this song on the big screen, and they shot people around the stadium, and they were doing the dance from this video, that horse riding dance that this guy seems to have made famous. A lot of people at Dodger Stadium seem to know it, and then he was sitting there at a game, and he waved at everybody, and they went crazy. And then there's Nelly Furtado doing the song in concert.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
It's kind of amazing how many... kind of random, I want to say. Stars are totally into Gundam Style now. Like, T-Pain was into it. Katy Perry's talked about it. Everybody seems to be really into it. Justin Bieber's manager says he wants to get, like, a piece of the action.
No, don't. Of course. Let that happen. Really, what a surprise.
Does this have the potential, do you think, Dan, to be the first ever Korean language hit in the United States? Could you see this actually being a mainstream pop record?
I think it's already kind of a hit. I mean, it did reach number one on the iTunes music video charts. It's kind of outstepped a lot of the other Korean pop stars who are like amazing right now. But it's kind of a surprise hit, and it's kind of mainstream. If Nelly Furtado's doing it, right?
Yeah, it's catchy enough too that I think Americans will love it. Here's a little bit more. He could be saying Americans are dumb for all I know. I don't have any idea. But
I'd be surprised if somebody like LMFAO did not do an English language cover of this at all and steal some of his thunder a little bit, because that beat is irresistible. That's too good.
Perform it together.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Well, listen, Dan, you need to have the Ghostbusters come in and check out what's going on in your office there, because you definitely have some apparitions on your phone, man. We're so glad you got a chance to join us, though. Again, the website is dramafever.com. You can read much more about this Korean artist named Psy, including also a flash mob performance that he did in the middle of a busy street, which is just crazy to watch on the site. And also, of course, as we mentioned, TV shows and movies from all around the world, dramafever.com. Dan, thanks so much for the time today on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks a lot.
We appreciate it. Go watch the video at kevinandbean.com. You can see the Dodger Stadium video as well. And what's her name that did it?
She needs Nelly Furtado.
Nelly Furtado needs to back away from the food a little bit.
Aww.
Maybe a little less food.
Kevin, you got some baby news for us.
Well, Snooki tweeted.
Yes.
I'm so in love with my son Lorenzo. I had my little man last night, healthy at 6 pounds. He is my world. Snooki had a kid.
Yeah.
Look.
Not just one of the people from Jersey Shore. Snooki.
Of all the people from Jersey Shore.
As we have so often pointed out in this program, you have to have a hunting license, a fishing license, you have to have a driving license, you have to have a medical license. I mean, there's lots of things that we say you have to have a license for, but anybody can have a kid. And I guess it was inevitable if you watched the Jersey Shore that eventually Snooki was going to get knocked up. But now she's had a baby, and I'm terrified to think about what kind of a mom she's going to be. So we wanted to find out more about how this is. I'm not sure who we have, but we have somebody from the family on the phone, right?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hey, it's Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, the 3-day-old?
Hey, how you guys doing, eh?
Wow, this is a surprise. Wow, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's everybody there? La La Land, baby.
How are you already so much smarter than your mother? I can't believe you know all this stuff already.
Because it's the perfect match of genes, baby. My mom, Snooki, my dad, Gianni, they made a little freaking genius.
Well, how are you enjoying life on Earth so far?
I'm sorry, what's that? I'm having a little party here in the nursery.
Yeah,
fist pumping, baby.
Do the other mothers and fathers and babies like that music?
Who cares? If it's too loud, you're too old, bitches.
All right.
And everybody here is older than me, practically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's true. Boop, boop. So it sounds boop, like you're...
Boop. Jersey Turnpike.
Now, have you heard any of the things that people are saying about your mom having a baby? Not a lot of people think she's going to be a great mother.
Why is that? I think she's a great mom.
Well, she's really, really stupid.
Hey, listen. Man, you talk about my mom like that, I'm going to put my little fist right where you know where.
Hey, easy, dude.
Hey, come on. You want to fight? I'll freaking fight you. Come on.
Nobody wants to fight.
How'd you like to get a full diaper right in the face?
not at all.
No, my mom's the best. Her breast milk is 90 proof.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that at all.
I'm loaded all the time, baby.
It doesn't seem like she has enough awareness of how the world works to be able to competently raise a child. Like, I'm surprised she's kept you alive this long, Lorenzo.
Hey, don't worry about it. I can take care of myself, okay? No, I don't need nobody looking out for me.
All right.
My mom's is just fine. My dad's fine, too. So why don't you just shut your mouth already before I come over there and shut it for you?
Wow, you have quite a temper.
I'm telling you, I'm having a good time here. You guys come busting my balls. What are you doing?
How long?
I got little tiny balls, and you're busting them.
All right. How long do you think it'll be until the GTL kicks in?
Hold a second. All right, yeah, the floor for everybody.
What? Yeah, What's going on?
I got table service in the nursery, baby.
Oh, you shouldn't be drinking, little Lorenzo.
I know how to roll, baby.
Oh, this is frightening. This is exactly what we were afraid of. Hey, you have any
of... Similac for everybody. Everybody get one. Everybody join in. Come on, Jersey Turnpike.
Have any of your uncles and aunts from the Jersey Shore, Snooki's roommates from the TV show, been by to visit you?
Yeah, everybody come by to see me. Uncle Stitch came by.
Situation, sure.
Yeah, he gave me a tanning lamp, which is nice. I thought I got a nice golden color going already.
Already tanning? That's got to be bad for your skin.
No, man, you got to look good. You got to look good for the other babes, you know what I'm saying? Or babies in this particular case.
Sure.
But I'm picking up already in the nursery.
Okay.
These babies are deep. ETF.
Oh, no, they're not. Please don't say that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
No, stop it.
Nope, that's where we say goodbye.
No,
sorry.
It sounds a fart. That's what it is.
Oh.
And then Uncle Ronnie came by, gave me my first set of weights, so I'm already pumped up.
You're already, okay, so.
I got 17-inch arms already.
Wow, that's huge for a 3D.
I'm huge. I am so ripped already.
Wow.
And, this is terrible.
And Aunt J-Wow came by.
Yeah.
Oh, I like to breastfeed there. You know what I'm saying?
God.
Well, something we can finally agree on. Joe Rogan next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, Aziz Ansari is going to be joining us tomorrow, and Kamau Bell will be here on Thursday. So a lot of comedy lined up for you. Also, our weekly visits from Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Let's face it, we all love TV, and sometimes you're flipping around the dial or you hear about a show and you go, you can't imagine the meetings that must have gone through before the decision was made to put something on your television. Like, how did some of these shows ever make it?
And that's why we bring you WTF TV.
WTF TV, WTF TV, WTF TV.
Can you believe that this is on TV?
Oh, yeah. What's our program to spotlight this morning, Kevin?
Unless you saw it, you're not going to believe that this is real, but it is. It's on CW on Wednesday nights, and it's called Oh Sit.
Excuse me?
OSIT, S-I-T.
OSIT, okay.
Yeah. And it is a game of musical chairs. But it's full contact, so they wear helmets.
What? Really?
Yes. And they have an obstacle course. Think Wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
And if the course is a circle
mm-hmm.
in Wipeout, and then there's Chair Island in the middle. So they have to, I'm not making this up.
That's what they call it.
So they have to go around the circle and go through all of these obstacles, and then there's a band, and when the band stops playing music, just like musical chairs, they have to rush in and get a chair before it's too late, or they get eliminated.
How is that a TV show?
I don't know, but it's got more rules. I've gone through it, and I don't understand how it works. Here's a little bit of the beginning of it. It's hosted by the very popular Jesse Cruikshank and Jamie Kennedy.
Okay, good.
Those
now
are the two hosts for Oh Sit, which is musical chair, full contact musical chairs. And here's how it starts.
Hello, I'm Jamie Kennedy.
And I'm Jesse Cruikshank, and this is the ultimate game of musical chairs.
The idea of the game is simple. Music starts, racers run around the track, tackling obstacles. When an obstacle is completed, they cross a green money line and bank cash.
When the music stops, racers fight their way to Chair Island to grab a chair. If you don't get one, you're out. Now, each chair has a secret cash value.
All right, now.
What?
Okay, so you have to rush around the obstacle course until the music stops. They have a band there, and then the music stops. And then you have to rush, you have to beat other people into Chair Island, which is in the middle of it.
This is after you've already crossed the green cash line, right?
Correct, yes. Now, when you get into Chair Island, you sit in the chair. Now, each chair has a value that you have no idea what it is. It doesn't.
Okay.
It's a secret value.
So this is money that is added to your potential pot if you win the game? Is
right.
that what it is?
Or nothing, in which case you could also be eliminated, I think.
Will be added to whatever the racer earned on the track. The racer who earns the least amount of money in that race is also out.
After five races, only the racer who gets the last chair wins the game and keeps all the money they bet.
Now, this is full contact musical chairs, so we have four referees on the track.
Four referees, just to make sure, because it's full contact.
Wait, I want to go back for a second.
Okay, let's go back.
So if you have...
WTF TV.
If you don't have... You can get eliminated by
not getting in a chair
or by having the least amount of money?
Correct.
At the end of each round?
Correct.
Okay.
So far?
So two people get eliminated each time.
Correct.
Okay.
And there are only three things that'll get you disqualified.
Okay, now there are three things that get you disqualified.
Okay.
Remember, it's full contact and you have four judges,
okay.
or referees. Now there's only three things that can get you disqualified.
Contact above the neck. Contact with the intention to harm and pushing from behind on the track.
Racers can push from behind on the bridges, but remember, kids, pushing from the back on the track is whack.
Is whack.
You can't push them from... Can you grab them and pull them back?
Yes.
You can
but
do that.
You can't push them from behind. You can push them from behind on the track, but not on the bridge to Chair Island. Okay?
Obviously, that's sacred.
Is everybody with me so far?
Wait, there's three things.
Too much information, man.
I'm barely hanging on here, dude.
Okay, so that's...
I'm trying.
So that's partially the rules. Now, they have a band.
Partially.
Now, they have a band there. And the band plays, and then when they stop, of course, everybody scrambles for the chair.
Now the racers are ready, and the FOS band is standing by to kick off race number one.
Stand by for music!
And here we go with race number one. Two racers will be eliminated for not getting chairs.
All right, so that's race number one. This band, by the way, is awful.
That was bad.
It's just terrible.
Wait, two people got eliminated for not getting chairs? What about the...
In the first round.
What about the person who got...
In the first round, Lisa.
Okay.
Later on, it comes down to money, where you don't get money for sitting in a certain chair, but you don't know which chair that is.
Jeez.
This is the kind of show that nobody involved with it will ever put on their resume.
No,
right?
No question about it.
They're going to all pretend this show didn't happen.
I can't believe it aired once.
Were they just smoking when they gave it the green light?
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
All right, so now the music stops.
And the music has stopped!
10 chairs up for grabs. Number 4, Tim, the banker, quickly onto the corkscrew. Ooh, both he and Vanilla are corkscrewed into the water.
Oh! By the way, this is
what happens if you get in the water.
You have to get back out, I guess, and get back on the corkscrew, which takes you over to Chair Island. Keep up. Keep up. What's wrong with you? I'm making this pretty clear.
Number 2, Dan, the Danimal, making his way over Twister Bridge and gets the first chair. 9 chairs left.
Number 6, the Ryan King, makes an attempt at a corkscrew and takes a plunge.
Oh, they have cute little names, too, like the Ryan King.
Racers will have to scramble to get onto Chair Island, where chairs are worth $0 to $5,000 this round. Number 1, Lady Rara, tries to get across the court and does. Nice balancing act there. 7 chairs left.
Listen to the crowd and the fake, unbelievable excitement. They are seeing a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning at the World Series excitement.
Yeah, they are. They are.
It's just so annoying.
We've got our first two eliminated racers with the world's first musical chairs correspondent standing by trackside all night long, Tanika Ray.
Yep, she's the world's first musical chairs correspondent.
Oh, man, she's proud.
And
Mom, Dad.
She does a great, great interview.
Two girls. We have Kathy and Olivia. You guys are both slowing down. You kind of look like you have no color in your face right now. Are you okay?
A little numb.
Was it way harder than you thought it was going to be?
I think the cold water is what got me.
Yeah, absolutely. What got you?
Definitely the cold water.
Yeah, go warm yourself up, guys. We're back to you in Skybox.
Back to you in Skybox.
It's the ice. It is fantastic in a margarita, terrible down your pants.
See, because the hosts are funny.
Do you think they gave her that line, or she just came up with that line?
I'm guessing that was written.
Oh.
This is real. This is on TV.
This
isn't a Funny or Die video.
No.
This was on the CW.
Yes. Ask me how long it is.
How long is it?
An hour.
Oh, no.
Number 4, Tim the banker. Your total is $15.50. And there's no transaction fee.
Oh, there's no transaction fee for you, the baker. Hey, Tim the baker, there's no transaction fee.
Look, we can never make fun of The Bachelor again.
Yeah, you're right.
Big Red, your track total is $600. Ryan King, yours is $700. Ryan, you're sitting in the $0 chair, which gives you a total of $700. Big Red, my fellow Ginge, all you need is $150 to move on.
Come on.
Your chair is worth...
Come on.
$50. Oh! Sister, you lost your seat.
She lost her seat.
Sister, you lost your seat.
This is real. Greenlit, produced...
And on TV.
Most importantly, aired.
Cable channel either.
This is called OSIT. Yeah, it's not like some random,
it's
like the Game Network or something like that. It's on the CW.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, as long as they stay in the game, the racers' earnings from each race are added to their individual bank.
All right, now there's more rules.
Oh, no.
As long as you go, Bean, you keep getting money.
At the end of the night, the last one sitting leaves with all the cash they've earned. Everybody else gets zip.
Oh. All right. So your money adds up until the end of the game, and if you're not the leader, then you get nothing.
Is it the same people that play the whole hour?
Yeah, it's the same team. They have like 10 people. And then they eliminate one or two. And then it goes on and on.
Sasha Fierce, who brought her Fierce family. Tanika is with them now.
I'm hanging out with number 7, Sasha's family.
I love the reporter that they send it down to who just screams. She's just yelling because the crowd is so loud. And listen to the interview that she does with Sasha Fierce.
I'm hanging out with number 7, Sasha's family. Yeah! I love Sasha because she says her personal mantra is that she shakes what her mama gave her. Go, Sasha! Back to you guys in Skybox.
She didn't even talk to her. What is she doing down there? They toss it to her, and she doesn't talk to the person that's playing.
Well done.
What's happening? What's going on? Somebody help me understand, please.
WTF TV. WTF TV. WTF TV.
Can you believe that this is on TV?
Joe Rogan coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Once again, Forbes magazine is at it, giving us a list of people who make more money than we will ever make in our lifetimes.
I think you're right. This is all they do now.
Yep.
Lists.
Forbes magazine used to be a respected business news affairs magazine, and now they just make lists of rich, famous people.
It's the You're Poor magazine.
They should rename it You're Poor. Their latest list is the richest people in entertainment. So these people are the richest people in show business, highest paid people in show business.
All right.
This is, once again, keep in mind, for a year. Not a lifetime's worth of work, not a career, but the past 12 months.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling not on the list this year, sadly. Here are your top 10 richest people in show business over the past year. Number 10, Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
We were just talking about his $2 million tour bus that he sleeps in when he's touring the country.
I would have thought he'd be higher.
Well,
because he owns a piece of all of those shows.
Kevin, $90 million only gets you...
What, in 1 year?
Only gets you in the top 10 for 90 mil.
In a year?
Yeah, sure.
That's insane.
Come on.
Wow.
Just the past year.
So $2 million for a bus to him is literally like pocket change.
But Kevin, if he buys 45 buses this year, he'll be broke.
No, because he made that last
year
as
well. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Director George Lucas, producer George Lucas, just a hair over $90 million, puts him 9th on the list.
Wow.
This is going to shock you. It shocked me.
Tila Tequila?
Yes. $94 million for Tila Tequila.
Excellent guess.
Now, this rocked my world, because I didn't think anybody who wrote books for a living could make this kind of coin.
Okay.
But he's had a good year, and he's had some film rights sold, and things went well for novelist James Patterson.
Okay.
Who made $94 million this year.
What?
Wow. Yeah. That's not J.K. Rowling. That's not the Shades of Grey chick. It's just this James Patterson dude.
That's unbelievable. He made more money than George Lucas last year.
Yeah. Radio DJ Howard Stern, $95 million, makes him number 7th on the list. This is largely in part to his AGT deal, America's Got Talent.
Oh, I see.
He had a very good year also, as well as his holdings in Sirius and that kind of stuff. Actor, producer, writer, director, douche, $105 million.
Michael Bay?
List member, Tyler Perry.
Oh.
6th on the list. 5th, Dr. Dre. With $110 million, he's in the top 5.
Because of his headphones, do you think?
Probably. There's a lot of it, yeah. And he's probably the highest-ranking doctor on the list, I would imagine.
not if you count Dr. Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh.
Producer Jerry Bruckheimer made $115 million this year. I'm guessing that's got to be from his TV shows. He's got all of the CSIs are his.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Trying to think what else he's got going on television, but I think he hasn't done much in the movie world lately, so it's got to be his TV income.
Didn't he do the, I thought he had a movie last year. All right, go ahead.
Maybe Battleship?
Battleship, yeah, that's what
I was
thinking.
Is that a Bruckheimer?
I think.
Steven Spielberg, $130 million is what he made.
Just that? That's only 130?
Top three. You did mention Michael Bay, Kevin. I regret to inform you that the Transformers director made $160 million.
Wow.
Over the past 12 months.
Dude.
Any guess who's number one? Richest person in show business?
Well, it used to be always Oprah.
Yeah.
Is it still?
Any guess this year?
I mean, the names that come to mind, the you know, the Gagas of the world that we're used to talking about are just pennies compared to these people you're talking about. This is a whole nother level of rich. I have no idea.
It was a trick question. It is Oprah again this year.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still.
What do you guess she made the past 12 months? With this is her cable network, her magazine, her satellite radio station, her interest in Dr. Phil's show, Rachel Ray's show, Dr. Oz's show. She gets a piece of all those as well.
Oh, yeah.
Add it all up. What do you think she's pulling in over 12 months?
I'm so fat. So
what was the last one, 160?
Michael Bay made $160 million.
So I'd say 200?
No,
165.
$165 million.
In a year?
Just a year.
Just 12 months.
Just 12 months.
I can't even digest that.
I can't either. No wonder people like Katy Perry can turn down $20 million, you know?
She's not on the list.
No, but she's, you know, sure she's making plenty.
No wonder people like Simon Cowell can offer her $20 million.
Yeah.
Although I guess American Idol isn't his anymore, but still. Sad news if you're Neil Diamond. First of all, you're Neil Diamond. That's the saddest news. But then again, you find that your legendary classic hit song, Sweet Caroline, will no longer be played at the Penn State games. Apparently, school officials have decided that the lyrics, hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you, are wildly inappropriate to be played at the Penn State games in light of the Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. The tune has been a sing-along staple at Penn State home games for years, but you will no longer hear that being sung throughout the crowd. Officials have announced they will now play The Doors' Touch Me instead. So, wait a minute, that doesn't make
any
sense.
Any better.
Really? They think, what, if they play Neil Diamond, everyone's going to start grabbing kids?
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, that seems like a bit of an overreaction, but...
The song's not called Sweet Eighth Grader. It's called
How
Sweet
do you
Caroline.
Know Caroline is?
Because I know Caroline very well.
No.
And this troubles me. More Randy Travis news.
All right.
First, he was naked and drunk when they found him in his car crash.
He's fighting
the
cops.
That's the first verse of his new country song.
Threatening to kill the cops when he was nude.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting next to his Trans Am and was wrapped around a cement barricade.
Right.
Then he was fist fighting in the church parking lot, which is the name of his new album, and I hope you'll pick it up. that was this past week. And now his truck was found Saturday wrecked and abandoned behind a Walmart.
Holy cow, this guy's really trying to go
out. Found crashed and abandoned behind a Walmart in Frisco, Texas. Oh, Frisco, Texas, I'm telling you, is the cultural center of the universe, I guarantee you. I've never been to Frisco, Texas, but I'm telling you, the people there are very sophisticated. His lawyer is saying they have no idea how the truck wound up there.
Sure.
It's been missing for weeks.
Sure, it got stolen, I'm sure.
I'm sure it did.
And didn't get reported.
No charges will be filed against Randy for this because they can't prove that he was behind the wheel or what happened to his truck. But it is his truck. He does own it, and it was wrecked and abandoned behind a Walmart. Cops say they were just happy to find it there without a nude Randy Travis next to it. So apparently it's a win-win for everyone involved that the car was abandoned. Today's celebrity birthday is Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine is 26 years old.
How much do we love her, by the way?
She's pretty magical.
She's the best.
Yeah. Leanne Rimes, country singer, is 30 years old today. Actress Carly Pope from Popular.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention the screen classic Two for the Money. She's also in
Don't remember that
as well. I spent a lot of time on the set with Carly, and I can tell you she is just adorable.
Not a lot of time on the screen with her, though.
Sweet as pie. And could not be sexier and cuter and funnier.
It's nice to hear. You always want to hear that about people that you admire.
You know why? Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadians are nice people.
Yeah.
Max Collins of Eve 6 is 34 years old today. Jason Priestley turns 43, as does our buddy Jack Black. Jables is 43 as well. Shania Twain is 47 years old. Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom, is 51. Daniel Stern, very talented actor, is 55. And Luis Guzman from Boogie Nights and Traffic, he's on Community as well, 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So you're thinking about what your plans might be for the Labor Day weekend just ahead. May I humbly suggest Friday night you want to be at the Ice House in Pasadena. Also Saturday night, hell, go both nights. Joe Rogan is going to be on stage, ladies and gentlemen. You can buy your tickets at IceHouseComedy.com. And Mr. Rogan joins us in studio right now.
Holla!
Kevin and
Kevin Bean Show, Joe. What's going
what's
on,
up? I should
my
say
friend?
That I'm only doing the late shows. So if you go to the Ice House, there's an 8 and a 10:30. The Ice House in Pasadena is one of the oldest comedy clubs in the country. It's been around since the 60s.
Oh, so you just do a 10:30 awesome. On Friday and then 10
yeah,
o'clock on Saturday?
Exactly.
Good deal for $20, man. How you been, Joe? What's going on?
I'm restraining myself from swearing because I don't do radio anymore.
Oh,
I don't even
right,
know
yeah.
how to do it anymore.
Oh,
you're
podcast
all the time. I only do it for you guys. Yeah. Come in for you guys.
Well, that's nice of you to say. And I got to tell you.
Because I love you.
I went to UFC 4 on Fox.
Ah, yeah.
And I was sitting in the audience and I was thinking to myself, and I actually think I told Beer Mug, I don't know what to do without Rogan telling me what's happening.
Well, they have these little ear things that you can buy. It's like a radio. And you listen to it and it transmit the comment. I don't know if they had it at the Staples Center, but I know they have it at a lot of the Vegas venues and a lot of the venues in other places.
So you can hear
and
the
play-by-play
while you're there.
Yeah, the UFC sells it. And it's like a little radio and you tune in so you can hear.
I was watching your bald little head down there and I was like, oh, I wonder what he's saying right now.
But sometimes I'll say something funny and I'll hear people in the audience laugh and I'm like, wow, that's weird.
That is.
Like, I got a little audience now.
That's a problem. Aww.
Well, I always, you know, people have said, why don't they transmit the commentary, you know, and so they decided to do it that way. But rather than overwhelm everyone with, you know, me talking loud, you know, throughout the whole arena. That weird me out, too.
I always wondered if fighters could hear your commentary.
They complain about it.
They would complain about it, yeah.
Yeah, because I tell people
about?
What to
do. I wasn't in trouble, yeah. You know, at that point or whatever.
Yeah, dudes get mad. Uriah Faber got mad at me for the last fight, I guess, because he lost, and he said, I guess he didn't get mad till he listened to the commentary. But some guys get mad when, like, I'm telling him, like, he's got to get his right arm out of that position. He's got to get in between his legs. It's the only way it's safe. And then, boom, the guy does it. And, like, they hear me, and they'll give me the thumbs up or something. Like, sorry.
Oh. Seriously?
That is what it is. It's not like I'm coaching him, but right. That is what you got to do. And he's just, sorry you're right in front of me.
That's funny. I always wonder how they're able to hear anything as loud as it is in there, especially their own corner. Like,
well,
how
I don't
do you
know
even
if you
just
know,
focus in on that? Because the crowd is so close to the octagon.
I have a big effing mouth.
You do.
And
you
I get loud.
You're
loud.
I get
you loud.
Through. You're a loud guy. Don't
question. Well, they're
about
right
that.
Next to me. I mean, the cage, I reach up and I can almost touch it with my hand. I mean, I'm touching the floor where the octagon girls walk on with my hand all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's right in front. What's the bell for?
Octagon girls
gets a bell?
Yeah. Really? Anything hot gets a bell.
Oh, anything hot gets a bell.
Yeah.
How bored are you guys?
That's
come on, Joe.
It's beautiful.
You know the show. Hey, listen, we've got a lot we want to talk to you about. But since we're on the UFC topic, and by the way, the Fox night was a fantastic card and a fantastic night. Oh, man.
That was about as good as it gets.
It was
really
incredible.
Amazing, amazing fights. And the Shogun Verify was just craziness.
It was.
Yeah,
for those
nuts.
Of us that didn't set the DVR to go an additional half hour, we enjoyed the first three rounds, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not a mess.
Always set a sporting
always.
Event
I
for
know,
longer.
Yeah. I know. I always claim that I learned my lesson and then I forget. All right, let's talk about UFC 151 because this was a first. As long as your sport has been around, it's the first time they've ever had to cancel a night. And what a mess it has been. And we can't understand the controversy against Bones because it seems to us like he made the right call. Tell people what happened.
Well, the call was Dan Henderson injured his knee, and
that's who John Bones Jones
yes, was
going to fight.
Supposed to fight. Okay. Dan Henderson, of course, a Strikeforce champion, the only guy to consecutively hold two different titles in Pride. He held the 183 and the 205 at the same time. He's a legend. And it was a big fight.
He's a monster.
Yeah. And he injured his knee, and he had to pull out of the card a week and a half out. So the UFC called Bones, and they offered him Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen agreed to take the fight on 8 days' notice with virtually no training. He'd been doing a little training. And John Jones' camp wouldn't take the fight. And because of that, there was no main event. And because no one else wanted to take the fight. Machida didn't want it. Shogun didn't. Shogun, I don't believe, wanted it, nor could he. I think he might have because of the Fox fight.
Machida and Shogun both were offered the Bones Jones
fight. A lot of people were offered that fight. And other people did agree to take it, like Chris Weidman. He called and said he wanted to take it. Anderson Silva, after the fight was canceled, he didn't know it was canceled yet, but heard that it was in jeopardy, called and said, I will fight anybody at 205 other than John Jones. He goes, I'm not in shape to fight at 185 yet, because it's obviously a big weight cut for him.
Right.
The way it works is a guy like Anderson, you know, he has to pare down his diet. He has to like really compromise his calories and make sure to make 185 pounds. He has to be pretty strict, and it's a process that takes like a month or so to really drop his body fat down to his optimum weight. So he couldn't do that, but he said, "I'll fight anybody at 205 except Jones." He goes, "I'm just not in shape enough to fight him right now." So you know, he was willing to do it.
Jones said no, and Dana White got upset. What's your feeling on that? To me, if you're the champion and it's 8 days out, you have a lot more to lose than Chael Sonnen, who might.
There's one. That's,
a,
that
does Chael Sonnen deserve it?
That is certainly a way to look at it, and that is also a question. Does Chael Sonnen deserve it? I think Chael Sonnen is – anybody who's willing to take that fight and talk as much trash as Chael Sonnen talks – I want to see it. I want to see if he can.
Yeah, but he's crazy. You know
but he's not. He's smart.
Right.
I want to see it. I would like to see that fight.
But if you're Bones Jones, don't you? What's your decision?
I would take the fight for sure.
You would?
Unquestionably. Stylistically. First of all, I think that kid is the most talented guy to ever compete in the UFC. I don't think Chael Sonnen has anything for him. I don't think he has anything for him on the feet. I don't think he has anything for him on the ground.
But if you have the belt, don't you want to not find out who you're fighting 8 days ahead of time?
Yeah,
I mean, that seems like a reckless way to...
But you also have to think about the organization that employs you, and you also have to think about the massive amount of people that have taken off work and bought tickets and they're set to fly to Vegas, and they can't get refunds for the tickets.
Then you have
to think about all the fighters that fight on the undercard. You have to think about how much it's costing to the UFC. It's an inconvenient situation
and
for everyone
involved.
And ring
announcers who have comedy shows planned in Las Vegas that weekend,
Don't worry about them. Listen, I'm rich. I'm fine. doesn't matter to me at all. What bothered me more? I honestly, I mean, people say things like that. Like, didn't bother me at all. That financial loss literally didn't affect me in the least. What I was thinking about is, first of all, it's a shame. It's a shame that all the fighters in the undercard who really need that money, the guys who train for 6 to 8 weeks, that's the bad situation. That's terrible.
Because that's their only paycheck for the year, right?
Well, not for the year, but I mean, these guys are going fight to fight. They're going check to check. The struggling guys. That it's really unfortunate for them, and it's unfortunate for all the people that were looking forward to the fight. I can understand John Jones' position, but I don't think that Chael Sonnen is a real threat for him. First of all, he's a 185 pounder, and he's a big 185 pounder. I mean, he does make the cut, and you know, at 205, he would be a bigger guy. But I don't think he has a skill set to threaten John on the feet, which is like where it's real dangerous.
Right.
And I think on the ground, John is a better wrestler. Chael's a great wrestler, but John is he's like a special athlete, and I think they should have confidence in that. I think they should have taken that fight. He should have stepped up, and I think everyone involved would have benefited, including him, because he's already got a reputation now of, you know, being a bit of a prima donna, and his publicist left him 2 weeks ago because they were having problems with him. The publicist didn't like his attitude, so they when you leave the world champion, the publicist says, "I'm done." You know, there's an issue there. And then, of course, he had the drunk driving conviction. So his public image, and this is the drunk driving conviction, right after he had said, "You'll never see me with a DUI," and then, boom, he gets the DUI. And then everybody's like, this guy got a Nike contract after the DUI.
Right.
Wow. How fortunate is he? And then he makes this decision. Look,
so
I can see from
a bad decision as far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, because of his position, if I was in his ear, I was like, dude, you're on shaky ground. Okay, this is you have a chance to step up and be a hero. And in my opinion, I don't think it's much of a risk. I mean, it is a risk for sure. It's a cage fight.
It's always a
but
risk.
But that guy, I think, if you look at Chael Sonnen's stand up, Chael Sonnen has some decent hands. John Jones will kick the crap out of him when it comes to kicking and stand up. John Jones' takedown defense is the best in the UFC. It's impeccable. His jiu-jitsu's outstanding. I mean, he put Lyoto Machida to sleep with a standing guillotine. His stand-up is better than Chael's. He battered Shogun, who's like one of the greatest stand-up fighters in MMA history. I think John should have confidence in his game and just go in there on last-minute notice. It's still 8 days to prepare for another wrestler. You are preparing for a wrestler with knockout power. Now here comes another wrestler who doesn't have knockout power. Shift gears, take the fight, be a hero.
Change.
It's not that big of a change. change at all. The difference is the double. Chael has a power double as opposed to Dan Henderson, who's a more of a Greco approach, which is clinching and tying up the upper body.
You just lost me.
Sorry. The styles of wrestling in the Olympics are Greco-Roman and freestyle wrestling. And freestyle wrestling is a lot more double leg takedowns where you attack the legs. Whereas Greco, they take each other down by attacking the upper body only.
I got you.
And Henderson, freestyle wrestlers... Greco-Roman wrestlers have some, like, a lot of them translate very well to MMA because a lot of MMA you see, like, when they're up against a cage and they're tying up, you know, that stuff that looks really boring to everybody, where everybody
starts booing, boo.
But when a guy like Randy Couture beats the crap out of guys that way because he would hold them up against the cage, tie them up, and then batter their legs with knees and their body with knees and elbow them and do what they call dirty boxing, which is hold the head and punch them. That Greco-Roman tying up is really hard to deal with, and that's what Dan Henderson's really good at. So he was preparing for a little bit of a different style of wrestling.
He was preparing for a harder fight than it would have been with Chael Sonnen.
I 100% believe that. I think, and I'm a huge Chael Sonnen fan, but I think stylistically, John Jones is a nightmare for him. I think John's a nightmare for anybody. He's first of all physically incredibly gifted. He has this ridiculous reach, and you know, as a stand-up fighter, one of the most difficult things to deal with is a guy who can hit you from a distance where you can't hit him.
Right,
and that's what John Jones has. He's got a good chin. John has great stamina. He's got a great camp, and he was in great shape. Who knows if he was injured and was going to take, you know, it is possible that John looked at this and like, you know what, I'm injured already. This is a good opportunity for me to just get out of this. And he doesn't want to say anything about it.
He should have said that.
Well, a lot of guys have that issue. Like, look, Alan Belcher, who was Vitor Belfort is now going to step in and fight John Jones September 22nd in Toronto.
Right.
Well, Vitor Belfort was scheduled to fight Alan Belcher in that card, and Alan was going to take that fight. But Alan has a broken spine. He has one of his. This is how tough UFC fighters are. One of the bones in his back is broken, and he was going to beast through it.
Oh my god!
It's craziness. So you realize that a lot of these guys have injuries, and that's something that John has not addressed and cannot address. If he's going to defend his title on the 22nd of September, that is a possibility, and I have to look into that as a possibility. But unless I'm in John's camp, and unless I'm talking to him, and I know the day-to-day issues that he's dealing with, I have no idea why he passed on that fight. If it's just because it's a different opponent and with 8 days' notice, I say they're crazy. If I look at it stylistically, and they're like, well, Chael Sonnen was planning a sneak attack. Like, what? What is he going to do? Is he going to become a Thai boxer all of a sudden? He's not. He's got a very limited set of skills.
Right. Yeah. He's going to threaten to retire again if he loses. That's what he's going to do. Chael's, that's what he's got.
Look, Chael's got great takedowns, and he's got great control on the ground. But guys like Michael Bisping have taken him to the limit and got really close decisions with him in a decision that a lot of people felt Bisping could have gotten a nod, you know, in one way or another. So you got to look at that and look at John Jones, and you say, well, John Jones is a full weight class bigger. He's a huge light heavyweight. He cuts a lot of weight. He weighs in at 230, you know, when he's walking around, and then he drops down to 205. So I don't think it's a bad fight for him. I think he would have been a hero to step in and take it. But I'm not the guy that's risking my world title, so it's easy for me to sit on the sidelines and say that. You would have to talk to John and find out, you know, what's going on in his head. And he can only be so honest about it until September 22nd, until he defends his title. He's not going to tell you what, I've had problems in training, I'm arguing with my wife, I'm doing this, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. You don't. There's so much involved in preparing for getting into a cage and throwing your bones at another man.
Yeah.
And
that's, we need to pause you right there, Mr. Hello. Rogan. I apologize.
Joe Rogan is here on the Kevin DeBean Show performing this weekend. The late show is only at the Ice House in Pasadena. That's going to be Friday and Saturday night. Tickets just $20, by the way, available through icehousecomedy.com. And you're going back up to Santa Barbara at the Lobero. That's going to be on September 7th. And you can get tickets through livenation.com. More with Joe after this on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 728. We have Joe Rogan in the studio. Excuse me.
Joe, of course, is the podcast host of the Joe Rogan Experience, which is available through the website, joerogan.net. Or, of course, you can download it on iTunes, and you should. Speaking of the podcast, by the way, you talk about the craziest stuff in the world, Joe.
Tell me about Australian Jesus.
What is that?
Because I know how much you love him.
It's another of these David Koresh type, mildly charismatic dudes who find emotionally broken people gather them together in the wilderness and isolate them from the rest of civilization. That's what he's doing.
That really goes well.
Yeah, I think his name's A.J. Miller, but he calls himself Jesus. And he actually says, in the first century, I said this, and in the Bible, I said that.
Quotes himself.
Well, not only that, he's quoting the Bible, which is really hilarious because the Bible is a translation from ancient Hebrew, which they to this day don't know all the words. In ancient Hebrew, the words also double as numbers because the letters in there's no numbers in ancient Hebrew, so the letter A is also the number one. So there's a numerical content to words that doesn't exist in the English language that we don't particularly understand. It's like complete. Like, have you ever seen hieroglyphs? You ever seen like
sure.
Try to wrap your head around the idea of like pictures are the language. It's a completely different way of thinking.
Right.
Well, ancient Hebrew is similar in that way, is that the word God and the word love, they have the same numerical value. And this is very important in sentences.
Right.
And we lost all of that when they translated ancient Hebrew to Latin and then to Greek and then eventually to English. So this dummy saying, I said this, like, tell me what you said in the actual language that you said it, stupid, so I can believe you.
Right.
Because you're telling me English. This is nonsense. Like, it's craziness. When a guy is quoting the Bible in English, it's like, it makes almost no sense.
It looks like Matt Bellamy of,
Oh, really?
He's a silly bitch.
Amused.
He's a silly bitch. And he's not even that charismatic. He's just got a bunch of really broken people around him. And he's got this girl who looks like she's DTF. You know what that means? Down to, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's claiming she's Mary. She's Mary Magdalene. Apparently, he's told other girls that they're Mary in the past. And
wow.
The investigator busted him on that. You know what it is, man? There's a lot of people out there that are hoping someone has the answer. We are this temporary creature that is trying to make sense of the situation that we find ourselves in. And what we're in the middle of this life. And like a lot of us feel like we're in the middle of a life that is just going on momentum, and we're waking up in the middle of it going, where is this? What happens when I die? Does anybody have the answers? And when a guy comes along and he can speak smoothly and confidently and he claims to have the answers, like, well, let's just follow that guy. He seems to know where he's going.
A lot of people just looking for someone to lead.
Yeah.
Yes. People want to create order out of chaos is what they want. They're not comfortable with life being random, so they want a roadmap. I understand that.
There's also genetics. Chimpanzee DNA, and chimpanzees and all primates essentially have the alpha male structure. You know, there was the one badass chimp that has figured out how to avoid leopards. Follow that guy. And it really boils down to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does in so many simplistic ways. Like, there's a reason why people have the master bedroom on the second floor. Well, that's because you live in high branches to avoid the big cats. Like, that's like chimpanzees' life. They go up high to avoid being attacked. And that's literally why people keep their bedrooms upstairs. And that's the whole idea behind it. I mean, we have so much in our DNA and our behavior that has to do with our ancient primate past. The reason why kids are afraid of monsters. Why are kids that grow up in New York City afraid of monsters? Well, they're afraid of monsters because our DNA has us afraid of animals that will eat us. Because that's our million-year-old past. I mean, that's literally how everybody exists. So we have this searching for one person or someone to come along, says they know what's up, because I don't know what's
How'd you come across this guy?
Someone on my message board put a post. I guess
all the whack jobs contact Joe. Come on, you know that.
Oh,
Kevin.
It flows to me through Twitter.
Here's the point I wanted to make, though. A lot of these guys, and you're Australian Jesus, who I know you're reaching out to and trying to get on your own podcast so you can blast
trying
him. I mean,
to.
He basically is just using, hey, I'm Jesus, as an excuse to bang lots of chicks. I mean, that's what the primary
deal
is.
Isn't that what most of them do?
Yes. It all winds up being that. I mean, look.
But why don't the chicks, I mean, it's a dumb question, I guess, because you've mentioned cults are very persuasive, but why don't the chicks go, he must not be Jesus if he's banging me and lots of other chicks? I mean, that should be the tip-off,
listen,
right?
There's girls who bang Joe Francis, okay? There's girls who bang Danny Bonaducci. He's a nice guy, by the way. I'm not saying this girl.
No, why would you do that?
I'm married. Someone bangs me.
Yeah.
The life is strange, and it's filled with questions, and no one wants to just go through it and go, oh, I don't know.
For some reason, I don't know is not a good enough answer.
Yeah, for a lot of people. For me, it's wonderful. That's my favorite part of life is I don't know. But, you know, I just...
You should hang out with Kevin more then.
I've done a lot of drugs. I've done a lot of psychedelics. I think the guys like this are always going to come along.
Yeah.
But this is such a weak game. I feel sorry for everybody who fell for this weak bitch's game because it's so weak. It's like this guy does... I mean, he's not even a special guy.
Yeah,
he's not a guy who gets up there and talks and he's uniting everyone and bringing everyone together. It's all about like emotional past and all this nonsense. He breaks people's lives down in this really like base way where I'm just really shocked that that works.
Well, it's working. I hope you get him.
But I'm always shocked.
Fun.
I'm shocked. He'll never come on my show. I'm shocked whenever I watch those Sunday shows where some guy is telling people that you know you can put money. It's a seed. You know you have problems in your life. You need to send me money, and that will be a seed for your own success. I mean, it's really a devious thing that people do, and you know you get these really dumb people in the audience that are you know barely above apes, and you interview them, and they you know they say I was really poor, my life was falling apart, and I sent him money, and now look at me. You know, and
that's quite an impression.
The healing hands, you know, people touch people's foreheads and they fall down and spasm, and people talking in tongues. And you know,
I love it. I love it all.
There's a lot of lost folks out there.
Yeah. I think you should start your own cult. You'd be very good at it, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not really down with that. I don't want to be a leader. What I would rather is a group of people who all admit we have no idea what's going on. You know, that's way better. I think we're all better when everyone admits like that this is a mess. This is craziness.
I should be the leader of that group because I don't understand anything.
Well, then there's no leader. You can't be the leader. You can't. You know. But our structure, like we talked about, our genetic structure makes us long for someone who knows. I mean, that's why we respect the elders of the tribe. Those are the people who have lived through the battles and have the scars.
So they must know what it's about.
Yeah. Well, they know something. They know a little more than you. But at the end, there's so little you can ever know. The whole life is nonsense. It's craziness. And then when you get really into it and you find out, like, super string theory, these guys they're finding mathematical code in super string theory that's identifiable, that literally questions the very reality of nature. And it makes you think that maybe life really is some sort of intelligently designed program that's running. You know, this you know, simulation theory?
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
I've heard of it.
The real issue is we wouldn't know if you're in a simulation, you know, and the when you see things like mathematical code in superstring that's absolutely recognizable and is also auto-correcting. By the way, I don't understand any of what I just said.
I don't either.
So
we're on the same page.
If you go and read like what actual scientists say, it's very compelling and very perplexing, but ultimately it'll just lead to more and more questions. But what they're essentially – what people are saying is that – and this is a legitimate field in science, is that at one point in time, we are going to be able to create a reality that's indistinguishable from this reality where you knock on things and feel it with your hand. You will get the same sensations as actual physical contact. You will get the same sensations of space.
I saw that in a movie called Total Recall.
Yeah, or was it Inception?
One of those
crazy movies.
Yeah.
But that is... If you look at what King Kong's graphics looked like in 1930, you know, when they had that monkey made out of clay and it was moving around, it looked so stupid. And then you look at the Avengers and you look at the Hulk and it looks so real. It's like ridiculous. He's running through buildings, but it looks so real. It's like one day that will reach a point where you are inside of that and it's not unfeasible. It's no... That's sexy? For real? It's not any different than looking at the days when people, you know, look at the cuneiform tablets from the Sumerian days of 6,000 years ago when they used to write on clay. I mean, that's what, like, ancient language was. Little stick drawings on clay. Now look at text messages on your cell phone that's coming through the air and reaching you. Look at Google where you press on your voice. Tell me about the Australian Jesus on your phone and it'll instantly pop up all these different articles, and then you could watch a video. That is magic.
Yeah,
and
it
the
is magic.
Leap from writing down things on clay to being able to talk to your phone and pull up a video on Jesus from Australia instantaneously, literally instantaneously, that is a far greater leap than today to an artificial reality that's indistinguishable from this reality that we exist in.
Here's
so
what
the
I like
idea
about,
is we might be in that right here, now.
Here's what I like about Joe Rogan is that none of us had any idea where this was going to go today.
Yep, that's right. I want to smoke what Joe's smoking. Joe Rogan is here. Ice House in Pasadena this weekend. We'll take a break. Be right back on the Kevin and Bean Chunk here.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I don't smoke weed, says Hector, but listening to Joe Rogan must be what it feels like to be high. What he is saying intrigues me, scares me, panics me, and blows my mind all at the same time. Yeah, that's about right. That's why we invite Joe Rogan in. He is on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena this weekend doing the late shows Friday and Saturday, and you can buy tickets through icehousecomedy.com and performing at the Little Barrow Theater in Santa Barbara on Friday, September 7th. Those tickets on sale now. Hey, Joe, we don't have much time. But,
this is ridiculous. You have all the time in the world. You need to get off this. This nonsense radio business. This is crazy.
Hey, it's going to happen soon enough.
With these breaks. We have to stop now.
And pays the bills.
It's crazy. Do whatever you want.
Used to doing his podcast. Nuts.
I'm so used to it.
Yeah. In our remaining moments, though, what's the animal that we haven't heard about yet that's going to kill us, Joe? Because usually you come in and there's something new and terrifying that we didn't know about until we talked to you.
So did I tell you about the Brazilian wandering spider?
No.
This is one of my favorites.
Please.
The Brazilian wandering spider is a spider that lives in the Amazon, and when you get stung by it, it gives you an erection that kills you. It actually it affects the body and the brain in some way where it elevates nitric oxide levels, which is nitric oxide is like NO2 explode. You ever see those like sports drinks and stuff?
Yes, yes.
Well, those have nitric oxide. Like Viagra is a performance enhancer in sports as well. Like athletes take Viagra and Cialis and things along those lines. Nitric oxide in supplements because it affects athletic performance. Well, this Brazilian wandering spider is the most toxic spider known to man. It exists in the Amazon jungle. And when it stings you, it gives you a permanent hard-on. It gives you a hard-on.
Yep.
Give me a ding. I can't say it. What kind of a country are we living in? God damn it. The commies have won. The commies have won.
Can't say that dirty
that.
Talk for your podcast.
That's crazy. Well, why can you not say that?
We don't make the rules.
It's like Japanese people being upset if you call them Japs. That's nuts. It's just an abbreviation. It's like calling Americans Amers.
We don't understand the rules, and we know all the rules.
I'm sorry about the rules. The rules
are
nonsense.
Tell me about the
spider. This Brazilian wandering spider. It gives you an erection that actually breaks if you survive, and most people don't. It breaks your penis. Your penis will never work again. It's done. It'll break like a hot dog on a grill. You know when those ballpark franks they plump
open
when you cook them and then they burst. Well, that's your unit. Your unit explodes. It just gives, and it's a spider. And by
the way,
pharmaceutical companies who are constantly trying to find the latest and greatest from the rainforest because you know it's literally a wonderland of new discoveries, and they're constantly finding new ones. They're trying to use this for erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Trying to find whatever it is about this spider to lead to the next breakthrough in boner pills.
Because we don't have enough of those yet.
Wow.
Well, I don't want one that'll kill me,
kill you. It can kill you.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't need an erection that bad.
Bad and question, Bean.
That's just one.
Yeah, it certainly was. It certainly was. Well, this may be the last time Mr. Rogan joins us here on the show.
No.
I came in here just for you guys.
I love you guys.
We love you too. We're happy to have you.
It just seems weird. All the restrictions are so dumb.
I know, because I've watched you on your podcast all the time, and it's you don't have any.
There's no restrictions.
But
the same people are listening to this radio show as are going on the internet and watching the most heinous things. It's the same human beings.
You are preaching to the choir.
It's just so these people that are sponsors, you idiots, are living in the 1980s. Okay, this is 2012.
We love our sponsors, and we're delighted
they
to have them.
All
Joe.
Suck it.
They're
all
the
your
best.
Sponsors can suck
they're
it.
The best. There's sponsors nothing wrong with
it. There's nothing wrong with them. What's wrong is the people.
Everything they advertise is awesome.
The people that are stopping you from saying all the words.
The Joe Rogan Experience is the podcast. Now I know you're going to want to check it out. JoeRogan.net and on Twitter at Joe Rogan.
I love everybody.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
See you later.
I love all you guys.
Thank you.
I'm so exhausted after Joe Rogan. I need a nap, and then I need like an hour in the isolation tank. That's the only thing that'll save me at this point. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Why don't you take a dirt nap? I'm just saying. It's always an option.
He didn't specify what kind of
That's
nap
what
he
I'm
wanted.
Saying. Right. Take a nice cool nap in the dirt. Dig a hole about 6 feet. Climbs on a nice comfy satin-lined box. Close the lid.
Sounds comfortable.
Next thing you know, sweet, sweet sleep.
I don't think so.
All right. I want to thank Listener Bean for sending me this story.
Listener Bean.
Very entertaining. This is about the 1 million moms. You know, I love the 1 million moms.
What are they again?
1 million moms are about 30,000 women.
Who already have a problem.
Who have a very hard line when it comes to television and sex. And
oh.
It's like basically an offshoot. It's an offshoot of the PTC, right? Okay. The Parents Television Council. And they are a very vocal minority and very mobilized, and they send out lots of angry emails and letters, and they pick up. They were the ones who wanted JCPenney.
Oh, right.
To go under because they dared to hire an admitted lesbian in Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesperson.
Which is absurd, and JCPenney did not cave. And
didn't even blink.
Congrats to them.
Yes. And they pick out various and sundry television, advertising campaigns, movies to boycott, protest against.
Sure.
This is their latest cause. It is a Skittles commercial. You can see it online. Premise is a humorous one. It's a woman making out with which appears to be a real-life walrus.
Okay.
On a sofa.
Right.
And her roommate walks in and he goes, "My God, what are you doing?" She goes, "Well, what does it look like I'm doing?" "Looks like you're making out with my boyfriend, Bobby." See, it's a twist. The girl comes in, it looks like it's her boyfriend. She goes, "No, it looks like Bobby, but actually it's not, because all walruses look alike."
Sure.
It's like this new Skittles, which has a candy coating on the outside, which looks like it's a certain flavor, but on the inside it's a different flavor. It's a new Skittle, that's all.
Okay.
So it's like a red one. You think, oh, this is cherry, and you bite it. Oh, it's grape. Surprise. It's a surprise Skittles.
Okay.
Maybe not a necessary product,
no.
But exists nonetheless in their advertising.
But what's the offense?
Well, Kevin.
Make it out with animals?
Yes. This is a commercial which is advocating bestiality, Kevin.
Well, but...
Stop doing what you're doing.
Does Skittles have our children's best interest in mind, they ask? Skittles candies are for all ages, but their target market is children. Skittles marketing team may have thought this was humorous, but not only is it disgusting, it's taking light the act of bestiality.
Oh. Wait, do they think that
Let Skittles know their ad is irresponsible. They're demanding.
Do they think that if their kids see that, they're going to go, I need to kiss an animal?
Of course, Kevin. They will start having sex with animals if they buy Skittles and see this commercial.
How does that leap of faith get made?
How can you not see it? It's as plain as the tusks on a walrus's face.
Wow.
So are we supposed to be complaining to our stations and boycotting Skittles?
Of course.
Oh.
How else will they learn that we don't want our kids engaging in acts of bestiality if we don't boycott this marginally humorous commercial?
But there's a girl sitting on a couch with a walrus. That's fairly unrealistic.
That is
it's
the first problem. You're absolutely
not
right.
True.
And she is obviously making out with this walrus, which will lead to some sort of bestiality sex. I can only imagine the things they'll get up to in the bedroom. And Skittles wants us to buy their filthy, filthy candy. Well, I won't have it.
I need Skittles right now.
I'm so glad the million moms have solved all other problems.
Yes, we got everything's done. Now we can attack the Skittles walrus ad.
Okay.
You can go to their website, by the way, to see the entire press release. It's remarkable. It's as if The Onion puts it out.
Yeah. You can't make that up.
Then Dave K. Mexico sent it to me and said it was a real story. No.
That was a different one.
Yeah, it was a different one. Russell Brand moves quick, doesn't he?
What's he doing now?
Well, he was... of course, married to Katy Perry. Then he was with the very attractive Isabella Brewster. But apparently he has given her the boot and moved on to yet another attractive lady. One of my favorites, actually. I don't like this at all. I don't want Russell Brand getting his stank all over this girl.
Uh-oh.
It's none other than Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice of the Spice Girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
A little old for him, isn't it?
It is. But insiders say they hooked up while rehearsing for the closing ceremony of the Olympic Games. And they have a lot in common. They both have a bawdy sense of humor. They love living clean. They're both in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And friends are saying the romance is already serious. Hmm. The only problem is, of course, is she bathes. So that's a difference between the two of them right there. Slimy, skanky guy.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want.
a good song right there.
It is a good song. I love that song. It's inappropriate, too. What are you laughing? It was a good choice. Was that Beer Mug's decision?
It was, yeah.
Well, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I heard LaQuisha talking to you guys about this show on Monday.
Not happy about it.
Who would be? Yeah. It's horrible to watch. She had her closet purged by her boyfriend Kanye West, apparently, that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Threw away all of her clothing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That everyone said, oh, you're just going to throw that stuff away. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars of high-priced custom-tailored wardrobe. Well, it turns out that all those designer duds are going to be sold on eBay to benefit the Life Change Community Church, which sounds a little David Koresh to me. What I don't know what's that? Going on here, but I got to look into that and see what this charity is.
That's weird.
So you'll be happy to know, as soulless and empty and hollow as the Kardashians are, apparently the sales of her previous wardrobe will be going to some sort of charity. So that's something to be said for them.
Hmm.
Could have been, you know, they could have just...
Could have kept the money.
Could have just kept the money.
Wouldn't
have
been surprised.
They're going to give it to somebody. Yeah, I know, for them to give up money. And since we were talking about the Spice Girls, you know, Victoria Beckham, posh Spice, is famously married to David Beckham, occasional soccer player. There were rumors that he was having an affair with Catherine Jenkins, the smoking hot opera singer from the UK who also appeared on Dancing with the Stars this past season.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there are rumors 5 times a year about that, about him.
About the Becks?
Yep.
Yeah, he likes to get around, if you believe the rumors. Anyway, rumors did sweep through the internet saying that there was an illicit affair going on between the two. Catherine has denied this and said, no, they're just friends. They barely know each other. They met twice, basically, once at a military awards in 2010 and another on a night out at the West End, which is England's Broadway, in February of 2012. They were out with a group of friends. It was just a normal evening out. But because people were insinuating there was a romance between the two, she is now getting a deluge of death threats.
What?
What is this new trend that if someone is dating someone and you don't care for the relationship, you must kill them? Remember Ellen Page? Poor little Juno?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was going out with Alexander Skarsgård, that King's Game, and now people want to take her out?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, stop it. First of all, crazy death threat people, you don't have a chance with the object of your affection anyway. If you thought you had a shot with Alexander Skarsgård or David Beckham, or you're upset because David Beckham's cheating on Posh Spice, you have no influence on them. Stop threatening to kill people.
I saw the crazy death threat people last night at the Troop.
Did you?
Yeah, they're good.
They're good. So now she is desperately trying to clear things up on the internet via Twitter, explaining herself, but also now she has to take the matter to the cops because it's getting serious. She's getting tons and tons of death threats.
You know what I think that is? Honestly, I think that is the access to the internet for the young. A 9-year-old says, I'm going to kill you, and has no idea.
Murderous 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Hate them. Hate those 9-year-olds. Today's celebrity birthday is Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine is 26 years old. Carly Pope, actress from Popular, and of course, Two for the Money, 32 years old today. Singer-bassist Max Collins of Eve 6 is 34. Jason Priestley's 43, as is our buddy Jack Black. Shania Twain turns 47 years old. Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom, is 51. Daniel Stern, very talented actor from the Home Alone movies and also was the narrator of The Wonder Years for many seasons, 55 years old. And Luis Guzman from Boogie Nights, Traffic, and Community, 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I have to be honest. I was not as big a fan of John Madden calling football games as you were, Kevin.
Loved
you
him. Loved so him.
Yeah, because he's crazy. You know I love crazy.
I know you do. And I had tremendous respect for him as a player, as a coach, as a Hall of Fame broadcaster. I loved him. But in the last few years, he got to be kind of crazy.
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
So that's how he used to go, just rambling on for about 2.5 quarters of every
that's
game.
That's exactly why I loved him and why you hated him. Same reason.
But even though he retired and he's gone, his best-selling game continues. We're talking about the release of Madden NFL 13, which is out everywhere. What'd you say, Kevin? Tonight,
today.
Midnight, right?
I think it's today.
It's when it's coming out. Shane Satterfield is on the phone with us right now. He is the editor-in-chief of GameTrailers.com, who for the last 10 years have kept us up to date with what's going on with the interactive game industry. Shane, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend. How are you?
Good, thanks for having me. But I got to say, I love Madden. He's like the drunk uncle at Christmas.
Right,
yeah, I agree.
I know, but he's just, I don't know, he didn't seem like a professional broadcaster those last
few years.
No, he
lost it. That's why he was great.
It was kind of like Dick Clark the last few years on New Year's Eve. So I was wondering how, without Madden on our TV every week, how the game was going to continue to sell. Is it as big a deal now, Madden NFL 13 coming out, as it would have been a couple of years ago when John was still kind of in our faces all the time, Shane?
I would say it's not. I mean, if you look at the sales figures for Madden, they have fallen off pretty significantly over the last half decade. But I think a lot of people would tell you that it's more a matter of fatigue because the game does come out every single year. It's really hard for them to get a lot of improvements in the game.
So it's sort of the same
time,
as...
People who buy games have kind of wised up and realized maybe I don't need to buy this every year to still enjoy it.
Right. So maybe you buy one every third year and you get the upgrades.
Another problem, too, is that EA, you know, they're the only ones who can make NFL games now, and it used to be there were other companies that could do it, so they have no competition pushing them to make the game better anymore, and that hasn't really helped either.
So how is Madden NFL 13?
Madden NFL 13, it's got its pluses and it's got its minuses. Overall, it's still a great football game. I mean, they've been making these games for almost two decades. They kind of have the fundamentals nailed. But what they tend to do is every year they try to find some silly gimmick to put in the game that they can kind of use to market the game with. And this year it's this brand new tackling system called the Infinity Engine. And it does have, you know, some pretty crazy hits. In fact, you know, the NFL has been trying to clean up its image and get rid of a lot of the real bone-jarring hits. Well, the video game has actually gone the other way, so I'm sure he's, like, waking up in cold sweats at night saying, what have I done?
Right.
But the problem is that the physics also create all these awkward situations in the game where the players just kind of spaz out or they pretzel, literally turn into human pretzels and then unravel. It's actually opened up Pandora's box to a bunch of issues that the game never had before.
It seems super gimmicky.
It is super gimmicky. If they had done it right, it could have been amazing, but I feel like they started working on it and they're like, well, we got it close. Is that good enough to put it in the game? And I think at that point it was too late to turn and run. And so they've released it this way. So the fundamentals are nailed like it always is in Madden. And I will say that the passing game is a lot better this year. But the big new feature, which is the Infinity Collision Detection Engine, is pretty much a bust in my opinion.
Shane, I don't know how much you've had a chance to play with the game this year, but how is Peyton Manning performing as a Bronco, according to you?
Well, I don't know if you watched his last preseason game, but he's starting to look pretty good.
In real life, he's looking great. I just wonder, you know, it's the interesting thing about this game is they always have to adjust all the players from team to team and everything and try to make it as realistic as possible. Do they have a setup where you can download throughout the season as people are playing and not playing? I mean, do they follow closely what's happening in the real NFL?
They do. In fact, they update the rosters almost on a weekly basis. And that's kind of the catch-22 with Madden. It's like when you go to buy Madden every year, you're saying to yourself, is updated rosters and having the right players on the right teams worth the $60?
Right.
And in my
right.
opinion, like, I'd rather just pay like my nephew or my kid brother $5 and have him go in and update the rosters. But for a lot of us, we're too busy, and I think a lot of people are just like, yeah, I realize it's kind of the same game. You know, my life is too hectic to, you know, waste the time doing it myself. I'm just going to drop that 60 bones and just have them do it for me. And to answer your question about Peyton is really good in the game, and I think they did a really good job of not kind of listening to all the hype about him and everything. I mean, you can't really replicate a neck injury
right.
in Madden. So a lot of people are nervous that, you know, he takes a couple hits, he may be out for the year.
It's too bad his head should pop off or something, and then he just put it back on the
satellite. Now that would be a good Madden game.
Right. How about, and this is the voice of Shane Satterfield on the phone with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show, GameTrailers.com. You can see so much more about Madden NFL 13 and all the other games as they come out week after week. How about fantasy football? They're still doing the ultimate team. That's still a feature, right?
Yeah, and I actually really like the Ultimate Team. It's just kind of, the mode seems kind of kooky when you first hear about it, but it actually gets really addictive. Basically, they give you like a pack of cards of players from out the entire NFL. So you could have a player from like 30 different teams or whatever.
Right.
And then you start creating a team from those cards, and then as you play the game, you can get more cards to help build out your team. And then, of course, you can always just spend money after you've already spent your $60 to get those cards as well. But it becomes very addicting. And also, like we were talking about earlier, about how they update the player ratings throughout the year, they do that in Ultimate Team as well. So some of those rookies that you pick up initially, you know, like Trent Richardson from the Browns, maybe he's not so good when you first get his card, but if he ends up performing really well throughout this season, then his rating will rise on that card as well. So
that's one
of those things that seems kind of goofy, but it's actually a lot of fun.
Madden NFL 13 is available today for all formats. You mentioned that they maybe have lost a step. Sales have been down the last couple of years, Shane. So we're not in a situation anymore where people have to line up or pre-order or anything like that. It's fairly easily available, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did midnight sales last night, and those tend to only be big for Madden, you know, in the major cities. If you live anywhere in America, you could walk right into a store right now and buy it. So
fantastic.
I would not worry about lining up to get Madden today. You should be fine.
Shane, I'm glad we had you on. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you about GameTrailers.com, too. It's an awesome site. We've been checking it out here in the office. I hope we can talk to you again.
I would love to come on again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shane. We have a new enemy, a young man that we're going to dismantle live on the radio in about 15 minutes. His name is Tim Goodman. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter. He's their TV critic. His article is entitled, Honey Boo Boo, That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore. If he's going to try to get on our show and tell us that Honey Boo Boo shouldn't be on TV, then he's picked the wrong show. Am I right?
Agreed.
We're going to talk to him coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air. These are your calls to us. You leave a message. We play it back at 323-520-AFRO.
So, the Rodney on the Rock show just started, and he suggested that we all set our tape recorders to record. Could someone please explain to me what a tape recorder is?
Rodney is not exactly futuristic.
Look. Wise ass, you hold your tape recorder up to your transistor radio and record the program, okay? It's obvious.
You know how you're talking on the phone and then you see the lights go on behind you?
Yes.
I'll have to call you back. I am getting pulled over.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, yeah!
Nice. Omar Fan Club there. I like it.
It's taken over like What's Up used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Taken over.
Great. Mark and Brian's over. Now I have to go back to listening to you two assholes.
Hey.
Another satisfied fan.
With that. Hey, take it easy there.
My mom just called me a son of a bitch.
That is kind of a burn on her more than it is on you, I guess.
I'm not exactly sure what this is about. If you could be more specific, it would help us. But really, it could be about anything.
Being your stupid.
Well, about what? Right. I'm with Kevin. Narrow it down for me.
It's possible that he was stupid on a certain moment at a certain day, but you got to know what's going on. Now, here is our interview with Henry Rollins was yesterday, and this guy takes Bean to task for a question that he asked.
Hey, Henry Rollins, who hasn't shown any sense of humor during this interview, let me ask you one last question. Do you think you're going to go to all the Denny's in the United States? Sounds like a good question, jackass.
All right, in my defense, he was going to all 50 states.
Right, but in his defense, Henry Rollins, who does have a pretty good sense of humor, didn't have one yesterday.
But Denny's has a program going where if you check in through their app on at all 50 states, you win free Grand Slams for life. I thought, here's a guy who's getting ready to embark on such a journey. Why not take advantage of where he's going to be?
Because
and win?
He's a health nut,
does he
right?
strike you as the kind of guy who's going to go to a Denny's in every 50 states and get a little card punch?
I can't conceive of a person
well,
who wouldn't do that.
Enough said. How about a word for our rapper friends?
Kevin and Bean, I need your help getting the word out to all the rappers that be talking about rubber band stacks. I got rubber band stacks. I got rubber band stacks. Buy a money clip, you cheap bastard, and start rapping about I got a gold money clip instead of rubber band. Cheap mother. You bleep that out.
All right. Consider it broadcast.
thanks for the heads up to beep that out.
Because all the rappers do listen to us, so I'm glad we got the word out.
Here's a guy's impression of our show, Bean, and this is gonna bum you out like it did me. Because it's probably more true than we'd like to admit.
All right, we're going to go to Random Moron on line one and see how he relates to Partially Funny Topic. Random Moron? Random Moron, are you there? Hello? Yes, Random Moron, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
Yes, hi. Okay, so how do you relate to Partially Funny Topic?
Hi, Lisa May.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, okay. How do you relate to Partially Funny Topic? Hi, Beer Mug. Hi, Ralph. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I call here about? Seriously, tell everybody shut up.
I accept your score.
I wish that was not accurate. And finally, thanks for the tip on this.
KTLA Sunday Night Evening News is golden. Tonight, Rebecca Hall said during her live segment reporting on Vince Scully's retirement. It's classic. You guys have to check it out.
Here it is.
Fernando Mania, Kirk Gibson, and 7 world championships. Shoo! Come on, Ben. Get your shit together. That's all you got? Get your stuff together. That's what I meant to say.
Nice.
Sweet. Nicely done. 323-520-AFRO 24 hours.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. We're going to talk to Tim Goodman in 1 minute. He's the chief TV critic of The Hollywood Reporter. He, Kevin, has a complaint about our girlfriend, Honey Boo Boo Child.
I don't want it. I'm 6 and I'm a beauty queen. The other guys must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, Honey Boo Boo Child. I'm super solid because I do pageants. I want to win money. A dollar makes me holler, Honey Boo Boo.
Tim writes to The Hollywood Reporter, among the many crimes against humanity that TLC, this country's most socially irresponsible channel, has inflicted upon its viewers, perhaps Toddlers and Tiaras is the worst, well, until the breakout star of that show. And then he goes on to talk about Honey Boo Boo. He's calling TLC irresponsible. That's the Freak Show Network, Tim. We wouldn't have a radio show if we didn't have TLC to make fun of every week. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I wouldn't actually have a whole lot of targets if I didn't have TLC as well.
Most,
you know, I get it.
Most socially unacceptable. That's ridiculous.
I said irresponsible. Actually, it's unacceptable at some point. I mean, it's unacceptable at the Honey Boo Boo stage.
All right, you're fine with this guy, though.
My scrotum is about 160 pounds and growing.
You're fine with that guy, right?
The man with the world's largest scrotum on Strange Sex. Remember him on TLC?
Yeah, you know what? I'm fine if they're not six years old and don't know what the heck they're doing.
Oh, okay, so it's just Honey Boo Boo that you don't like.
Well, I mean, look.
Because you took a pretty big swipe at TLC, our favorite channel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's my favorite channel to knock. I mean, they make their money off of basically freak shows.
Freak
I get
shows,
that.
Yes.
I get that. Yeah, I get that.
That's why we like it.
Right. And for most of the time, that falls into the realm of my whole, you know, vote with your remote. I don't want to watch it. You know, sometimes if you watch it and you can, like, just, you know, have stuff come out your nose, you're laughing so hard. I get that. But I draw the line on Honey Boo Boo Child.
We're going to talk about Honey Boo Boo in a moment. I have to ask, though, because tonight is the premiere of their new series, which I think is called One Body, Two Heads, that show about the conjoined girls. You going to be watching that one, Tim?
No.
Come on, listen to this.
Hello.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brittany.
I control the right side, and I control the left side.
You're conjoined.
No. You're not going to watch that. They have one body and two heads.
No, it's just soul crushing. That's what it is.
You are an evil bastard. What about the man with the 100-pound growth on his face? Remember that guy?
He's not this same guy.
All right, let's talk about. I didn't watch Toddlers and Tiaras.
What about the woman who likes pee?
I like warm pee.
Okay.
It's comforting.
All right, thank you. I only saw a little bit of Toddlers and Tiaras, but I must confess that I was intrigued enough to tune into Honey Boo Boo. And now, honestly, Tim, I've seen every episode, and I think I'm a little bit fascinated with this family. What's your problem? What's the primary complaint you have you spell out in your article in The Reporter?
Well, it's exploitation. I mean, she's 6 years old. She doesn't know what she's doing. Her mom's got her, you know, coked up on Mountain Dew and the Red Bull. It's just like... you know, first of all, my problem isn't with the family so much. I mean, they're happy calling themselves rednecks and all that stuff, whatever. But my issue is with TLC knowingly sort of exploiting the fact that she's 6 years old, her mom's uneducated, the whole family's uneducated, and they're all overweight, one of them's pregnant. I mean, they're such a cliche. It's ridiculous, but when it comes to Alana, I mean, she doesn't know what she's doing, and she's being exploited not only by her mom, which in some way you could probably say, hey, they need the money, give it to them. Like, they're just, you know,
she's going to be exploited by her mom either way. I'd like to watch.
Well, that's a decision we all have to make.
Does that make me bad?
No, you know, I'm just saying, everybody's got to draw the line somewhere. I am totally with you on the other shows. I get it.
Are you
I think those
me
people
on...
make their own decisions. I don't think Honey Boo Boo's making her own decisions.
Are you with me on My Strange Addiction? I love my car.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car.
You're with me on that, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm right there.
All right, good.
Tim, look, I agree. We've had a lot of discussion about this this Honey Boo Boo show on the Kevin and Bean program because I'm very sensitive to people who automatically assume all people in the South, and this family lives down there in deep Georgia in a
right.
tiny little village of 700 people. I'm sensitive to people stereotyping in their minds that all those people are stupid and uneducated. This family happens to be stupid and uneducated, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. It doesn't mean they're not real. I mean, you don't have to extrapolate that all people in the South are like that. This just happens to be a television show about one family that is like that. Isn't that okay?
Yeah, that's – I mean, well, the part that's okay is that it's – you know, they really – it is a cliche, and television goes in for the Southern cliche a little too often. This family is dumb and uneducated, and they have all the cliches for the South.
Even for the South, they're yeah. dumb and uneducated.
Yeah,
though.
They even embarrass the Deep South.
Yes.
but I will tell you, and tell me if I'm overthinking this, I've been really impressed by this family in a number of ways. First of all, they seem very affectionate with one another. They seem like they have a great time together. They seem like they spend a lot of time together. They seem like they're very, very happy and well-adjusted. They don't have the best manners in the world. They're not the most educated people in the world. But they seem like they're living a happy family life. That's not all bad.
No, it's not. And I agree with you on that one. And a lot of times what gets lost in the sort of conversation about whether this is exploitation and who's being exploited, et cetera, is that they are a loving family in their own way. You know, it's not how I would raise a family. You know, I would wash their necks. I wouldn't let them get that fat. I wouldn't
sure.
let them get pregnant at 15. But
sure, there's those things.
You know, but what I think is sort of the evil part about it is the knowingness of, look, the opening credits, Mama farts, right? And
yeah.
then laughs about it. They definitely show 10 times all the crust in her neck fat.
Ew.
Yeah,
you
know,
they,
right?
they did do that.
They really did.
You know,
that.
and then she blows her nose on camera with a hand towel in her. So much snot coming
right.
out of her nose.
And how are you complaining about this?
Because I think
that's
what
all good.
Because what TLC is doing is they're winking at us, right? They're saying, you know what? Look at these Southern hicks. Let's laugh at this fat
yes,
family.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's where I think they're wrong.
Oh. I understand everything you've written, and I don't disagree with much of it, except for the fact that now, as of tonight, at least you can look at Honey Boo Boo's family and go, they only have one head per body. I mean, at this point, they're not even the craziest thing on the network anymore, right?
That's true. That is true.
The article is called Honey Boo Boo, That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore, and you can see it on the Hollywood Reporter website at hollywoodreporter.com. The chief TV critic of the Hollywood Reporter is Tim Goodman. Glad we had you on. I know you're going to be watching the new Honey Boo Boo tomorrow night, Tim. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
What happens when you're driving down the road and the accelerator sticks on your car and you find yourself going 70, then 80, 90,
woo!
100?
Bumper cars.
Good times. 120 miles an hour. You can't stop.
Bumper cars.
What do you do when that goes on for over a half an hour at that speed? How do you survive that? We will tell you all about a woman and hear the 911 call that happened just this week. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sacrifice the car, right?
Yeah.
Find yourself a wall or a divider or some sort of median strip, and you graze the side of it, increasing the pressure as you pull into the side, sideswiping
it. And then it flips.
It doesn't flip.
How do you know?
Because,
are you an expert?
Because you're grinding the side of the car against a wall or a median strip,
mm-hmm.
sideswiping it. The friction of that interaction will eventually slow the car to a stop.
Interesting.
I mean,
even
yeah,
if the accelerator is still stuck down, though?
Yeah, sure, eventually. I mean, you can't beat good old friction.
Yeah, yeah.
I just run into the back of as many cars as I can.
See, that would be my option. I would try
each car would slow
me
down more.
Not to injure other people or property. I would just take my own car out. I would just sacrifice that car.
All right.
That's what I would do. But what do I know? I've never been in that situation. Not nothing. I know some things.
But not about that.
I don't know what that particular situation. That would be the first thing that would come to my mind, given the scenario being presented. I was on eBay, flipping around, as I'm wont to do.
Sure. Looking for Batman stuff?
Sure. That and other things. And for instance, I sent Bean a link I knew he'd be interested in. It was a collection. Someone was selling their collection of all their Mark and Brian memorabilia. They're unloading that finally after all these years.
Why have they been holding on to that stuff?
I can't imagine. But Bean, what do you think? 100 items?
Yeah, it's a pretty large collection: keychains and license plate frames, and shot glasses, just everything you can imagine. Mark and Brian,
shoe shine cloth. I mean, it's, just, it's amazing the crap they put out over 25 years. Anyway, so someone sent me a link, and it's disturbing me. And I would like to, if the person is out there, I'd like to talk to them.
All right.
My costume from Ted, the movie Ted, is up for auction on eBay.
What?
Yeah. Ralph Garman worn Ted, John's dad costume.
That's weird.
It's very weird. And there's like one lone bidder. It's like $25. And some person out there has bid on it.
All right. That's creepy.
And I'm just hoping it's a hardcore Ted or Seth MacFarlane fan. Because if the idea of someone who's buying it because I wore it is buying it.
I need to get Garman's DNA.
That just creeps me out to no end.
What did you wear in Ted, Ralph, for those of us that never saw the movie?
Just an old dad clothes.
Like an 80s dad clothes. It was like khaki chino pants and Docksider shoes and
a weird T-shirt item to own.
And then like a bad Bill Cosby, hideous Bill Cosby sweater on top of it all. And it's up for auction, and it's just freaking
You were
out.
Ralph Garman in Ted. You don't want it.
Yeah, I would know. If I wanted it, I would have stole it, like I do all my other costumes that I like. But that was horrible clothing, and now it's someone's bidding on it.
Yep.
Dave Hester is bidding on it. It's just creeping me out, and I want to know who it is.
Yep.
Because I want to get a photo and some fingerprints, and I want to
get some sort of restraining order
from
him. You can contact them through eBay, see if we can find out who it is, and have them come on with us.
Really?
Sure. I'd love to know why somebody is bidding on this.
I didn't know you could do that. All right, I'll try to contact
them. Sure.
But the reason I was looking at eBay is because I did a story last hour about Kim Kardashian, and recently on Keeping Up with the Kardashians this weekend, Kanye West came to her house, and he was showing her what life is all about.
Sure.
Which is new clothes. He cleaned out her closet, hundreds of thousands of dollars of high-end fashion, and replaced it with stuff that he wants her to wear. Which is the ultimate in control, isn't it? If you're just
totally.
forcing your girlfriend to only wear the clothing that you want her to wear, you're dressing her up like a Barbie. It's kind of creepy.
But before you say that, it's also a reality TV show where they have to come up with stuff to do. So maybe this is just one of the things they came up with to do.
You know? I don't know if you saw the show or not, but I got the sense that it was definitely Kanye's.
Is that right? That's a red flag.
Yeah, I don't think he's showing up on that show unless he absolutely has to. It doesn't seem like he wants to be on the show all that much. I got the sense. And it seems like this was a project that he was absolutely in charge of.
All right.
So anyway, I did the story last hour. And we were talking about the fact that it was the nice part was that they're not just, going to throw the clothes out. They are putting them up for sale on eBay. And all the proceeds are going to be donated to the, Life Change Community Church in Agoura Hills. And I said, it's nice that they're giving it to a charitable organization as opposed just to keeping the money, as Lisa mentioned, because it seems like something they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got to thinking. I said, I've never heard of this Life Change Community Church before. Maybe do a little research and find out about the Life Change Community Church.
What'd you find out?
Well, it turns out that it is an actual church in Agoura Hills. That was founded by Dave Hester. No. That was founded by, let me see if I can find the founder's name here. Oh, someone named Chris Jenner.
What?
Yay!
Are you kidding?
What?
Kim Kardashian's mom.
Wait, is it a building with, do you know?
It
Did
is
you
a,
tell?
Apparently it is an actual building
and
where they have.
People go to service
They
there?
Have actual services there.
What?
Her mom founded it.
Founded by Kris
church?
Jenner.
What?
And apparently Kim donates 10% of her yearly income to that church.
Is it a real church?
They have
Do they
services.
Have a real pastor and a
they
real
They have a pastor,
preacher?
Brad Johnson. Pastor Brad Johnson is listed as the co-founder of the church. Now, here's the story. I did a little digging, and apparently Jenner, she regularly attended Brad Johnson's former church until he was forced to resign from his position in disgrace following a scandalous affair.
With her.
Well, no word on who the affair was with.
Oh.
Johnson was working at Starbucks when Kris Jenner approached him about starting a new church together, which would focus on second chances. And together, with her money, or Kim's money, they came up with the Life Change Community Church in Agoura Hills. And this is where Kim Kardashian and Courtney and Mason Disick and Leanne Rimes and other celebrities.
Do you have to be a celebrity to go there?
I don't think so. It says it's open to everyone. Hmm. They go there on Sundays, and that's where they attend their Sunday services. So all the proceeds from this eBay sale,
that's weird,
which I thought were going to charity, right, are going to be funneled into this tax shelter of a church that Kris Jenner started called the Life Change Community Church, where Kim already donates 10% of her yearly income. And I'm sure it's so they can stash it away, and it's all tax-free because it's a church, right?
Sketchy.
You don't have to pay taxes if you're a church.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I'm sure they're funneling millions of dollars into this church in order to have some sort of tax dodge. That's got to be the deal. So that's where the money's going. It's not going to charity at all. It's going to Kris Jenner's church.
That's alleged.
Like Ralph has done some actual investigative reporting this hour.
Life Change Community Church is the name of it. So there you go. Now we know why the proceeds from the eBay auction are going there.
Interesting.
Does not mention any charity work that this church does. It doesn't say they're buying mosquito nets for kids in Africa, or they're not getting clean water to Ethiopia and building schools. It just says,
something like that.
Come as you are. You don't have to dress up, says the church's website. You don't have to be any particular age. We couldn't care less who you voted for in the last election. And please, don't feel the need to pretend about anything. Life Change Community Church is a place where God meets seeking people who are far from perfect.
Is it possible this is on the up and up?
Of course it's possible.
Is it probable?
I mean, a lot of Southern California churches have their offices in the Cayman Islands, Kevin.
A lot of them have have casino nights with real gambling in the back. No, I'm not saying they do this, and I'm not saying it's not a real church.
That's alleged.
I'm just saying I've watched the Kardashians.
Yes.
And I saw this woman sit there while her son ran weeping from the room while she sat there with legs crossed saying, oh, don't go, seriously.
Oh.
No, he went.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, not a lot of heart. I don't see a lot of heart.
Now we know why Kim's her favorite kid, by the way. Donating millions of dollars to her church.
Propping the church up. All right, I'm already out of time, but I just thought that was
interesting. We need to start our
great
own church.
Story.
That was interesting stuff. So,
guys, we need to start our own church.
No doubt.
Honestly.
And No Doubt could be a part of it.
That's right. They could be our band.
They could be a band.
They could do all the choir work. Look, if I'm way off base and the Life Change Community Church wants to give us a call or step up or whatever, I'd be happy to talk to them, right?
Sure.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthday is Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine is 26 years old today. Singer Leanne Rimes, who, by the way, goes to the Life Change Community Church. It all ties in. She is 30 years old. In fact, Kim Kardashian tweeted on Super Bowl Sunday that instead of watching the game, she was at church with Leanne Rimes.
At 3:20 in the afternoon, why?
I guess that's when this service was. Also says that the church put a large bet on New England. Lost a ton. Carly Pope from Popular and from Two for the Money is 32 years old today. I wonder what she's up to. I got to reconnect with Carly. I don't know if she's here in the States or she's living in Vancouver. But
I'm sure she changed her number after she worked with you on that movie.
She's adorable. I like her. Max Collins of Eve 6 is 34. Jason Priestley turns 43, as does our buddy Jack Black of Tenacious D fame, as well as his many feature films. Shania Twain is 47. Jennifer Coolidge celebrates her 51st birthday. Daniel Stern is 55. And Luis Guzman celebrates his 56th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, here's one of your worst nightmares. You're Laurie Ubelstead, and you're driving your good-looking Kia Sorento around Missouri, and the accelerator gets stuck.
Bad.
Let's envision that for a moment. Let's envision what happens when your accelerator gets stuck and the car does nothing but speed up and you can do nothing to stop it. How's that go for you?
Poorly?
And potentially poorly for the people around you.
She had a push-button start, so she couldn't just turn the car off with a key. The brakes all burned up. She couldn't get any of the gears to shift. Here's a little bit of the report from KNBC Channel 4 yesterday.
A woman's harrowing ordeal now behind the wheel. Her accelerator got stuck. Her speeds hit 120 miles an hour. NBC's Mara Schiavacampo has details.
And by the way, 120 miles an hour is well past when most people are comfortable navigating, especially in traffic. I mean, you're basically going around everything that you can. You're driving in the median. You're driving the wrong way down roads. You're doing everything you can to not hit something, right?
Yeah, you can control that for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be stunned when you hear how long this went on.
It was 35 minutes of sheer terror.
Wow.
I'm going like 80, almost 90 miles an hour out of Bethany. And I'm scared to death.
A 47-year-old Iowa mom hurled down the highway, her Kia Sorento completely out of control and gaining speed fast. The accelerator jammed.
Are you able to hit your brakes at all? We've tried everything.
Okay.
Have you put your car in neutral?
I can't get it to move. The car was unstoppable. Ovisad swerved erratically to avoid other cars.
I'm coming up on a bunch of cars.
Okay.
Oh, okay. God, I'm so scared.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah, calm down. Easy for you to say, lady sitting in the 911 center, by the way.
I like when she says, I'm coming up on a bunch of cars. The woman goes, okay.
And by the way, doesn't she sound unbelievably calm for a woman who's speaking to the 911 operator while she's going 100 plus miles an hour?
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
It must not have been very much traffic, or she couldn't have done it for 35 minutes.
No.
There were areas where there wasn't much traffic. There were areas, I mean, I saw a lot of this video. There were areas where there was a lot of traffic, where, like I said, she just had to go around it.
Sweet.
Know? And she had some very close calls. Wait, there's more.
Uvestad's car continued accelerating, hitting speeds as high as 120 miles per hour.
Oh, God, I have two semis.
She's got two semis. Okay, calm down.
She's also, 911 operator's also on the phone with police. You know, they're trying to clear the road, basically. I mean, that's the best case deal, is you get those cars ahead of you to pull over.
Right, of course.
Within minutes, state police arrived and attempted to divert traffic out of her way.
Okay, Laura, you see them? They're in front and one's in back of you.
I'm going to hit the policeman.
For 59 miles and 35 minutes, Uvestad desperately dodged traffic. Finally, troopers advised she pull the accelerator and hit the brake at the same time. A winning combination that finally slowed the car to a halt.
59 miles.
Amazingly, Uvestad didn't hit a thing, and no one was hurt. She finally climbed out of the car, shaken but safe.
59 miles, and she didn't hit anything.
I would have crawled out of the car.
Sign her up for NASCAR.
Seriously. What, you would have tried to jump from the car while it was moving, Lisa?
No, I mean, at the end, I would have.
But, oh, at the end. But, you know, she fell into the trooper's arms.
Yeah. But I would have thought about that. If there was a place where I could send the car off without hitting somebody and roll out, I definitely would have thought about that.
Going but at 120 miles
well,
an hour.
Well, not at 120.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure when the thing first stuck, she thought, oh, I'll be able to solve this in 10 seconds.
Right. You always think that.
Probably got out of control way faster than she realized. And then you're stuck. I mean, then you're in the speed movie all of a sudden, right?
Now, how did they solve it?
They said accelerator and brake at the same time, which is weird because the article that I read said that the brakes had burned out. But for whatever reason, that seemed to release it. And, of course, the car company, Kia, is looking into it and saying it's an isolated incident so far. But they're going to investigate and check out that car and see if they can figure out what went wrong. But, man, who among us could handle that? It is a miracle.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Crazy, crazy. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
This Kardashian story just gets deeper and deeper.
Oh, man, you've been doing some investigative reporting today.
The internet's a wonderful thing. You can find everything. How did anyone ever do anything for the internet existed?
I don't know.
I did a story a couple hours ago about Kim Kardashian. This is just a quick update for those of you who didn't hear. She, on the episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Sunday, she got her closet cleaned out by Kanye because he wants her to dress the way he wants her to dress.
Threw everything
away.
It's
not a euphemism, right?
No. Everything in her closet was, most of it was pulled out. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of high-end fashion, shoes, boots, accessories, purses, clothing. And I assumed she was going to toss it. And the story broke where they proudly admitted that Kim was going to put it all up on eBay, sell it, and all the proceeds were going to go to a church, the Life Change Community Church. And I said, bravo for them. And then the next hour, I looked into the Life Change Community Church, and it turns out that the church was created by Kris Jenner, her momager.
Can anyone just start a church, I guess?
Apparently you can.
Huh.
Kim has famously said she donates 10% of all her yearly income to a church. She said it on the Piers Morgan show when he did an interview with her. Turns out this is the church she was referring to. 10% of her yearly income gets donated to the church.
Tax-free.
That church, tax-free, gets to hold on to that money.
Tax-free. It's the holy church of the 401k, it sounds like.
Well, then we had the conversation last hour about that story, and everybody was asking, well, I'm sure they have services. I said, yes, I looked at the website. They do have services.
Okay.
And they said, you know, where's the building they go to? They must have a church there. And I said, I didn't know. I assumed they did, so I went back and did a little more research.
Okay.
Turns out, initially, when the congregation first started, they had their weekly services at the Edwards Movie Theater in Calabasas.
Okay. Then they'd watch a movie?
but they've since changed that, and now it has moved to the Sheraton Hotel in Agoura Hills. So you go to the ballroom at the Sheraton in Agoura Hills, and that's where they have their Sunday services.
This is sounding shakier and shakier.
So there is no physical plant to the church. There is no actual church. It is a church in name only. And you gather there at the Sheraton, and you engage in Sunday services there in Agoura Hills.
So the money
and enjoy
goes
a delicious
to
buffet.
I'm sure they must have a lovely brunch there at the Sheraton as well. So that's where the church is held, is actually. It's at a Sheraton Hotel in Agoura Hills. That doesn't sound the least bit shaky. That doesn't sound like they could just close up shop and take off.
That's
overnight,
crazy.
Does it? Like they could pack all the money up in a suitcase and fly off to the Cayman Islands? That doesn't sound like that could happen at all. If you're at a Sheraton, how's that going to?
That's alleged.
That is all alleged, yeah. So there's your complete update on the
wow
Church of the Kardashians.
Interesting.
Church of the Shaky Mom. Fascinating family. This is even better. This story keeps getting deeper, too. This isn't my work, though. This is the work of those excellent people over at TMZ.com who have a dog, who are a dog with a bone, and they will not let this go, and God bless them. Lindsay Lohan was at a party where
that's alleged.
Where some jewelry and watches and sunglasses were stolen, according to Sam Magid, who is the host of the party she attended, an overnight function. She attended at his house. When they woke the next morning, Sam realized that about $100,000 worth of his things were missing. And he called the cops, and they talked to Ms. Lindsay Lohan because there was some suspicion about Lindsay's involvement and perhaps two of the men that she attended the party with. She then took off to New York City. She said, am I a suspect? They said, not at this time. She said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. She took off. And then Sam said that, I changed my story. Everything's fine.
The cops
didn't buy it because their witness is the party who said that she was involved, so they keep investigating. Here's what they found out now. Two of Lindsay's friends who were there that night say the night of the theft, Lindsay handed them a bag with two or three pieces of the stolen items wrapped in her T-shirt. The two men then returned those items to Sam Magid. This is the guy who owned the house. Other items were still missing.
Wait, what? When did she give it back?
The guys gave them back. She said, here, take this. And it was a bag full of stolen items.
Okay.
In it.
And then that's not
those
the same
people
night.
Said, I'm not getting involved in this. They returned the stolen items to the guy whose house it was.
The guy didn't know that because he reported them stolen.
It must have been after he made the call.
Okay. All right.
This guy, Sam Magid, says he was also in touch with Lindsay, who told him she had hidden some other items around the house because she was afraid they would be stolen by burglars.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Then she also apparently told this guy that Lindsay said, I'm on Ambien. I was on Ambien at the time. I hid the jewelry, and I'm hazy about exactly what happened.
Wow.
Where I hid it and why I hid it.
Wow.
Now, according to sources, TMZ, once again, you can go to TMZ.com to read the whole story. Lindsay is claiming that Andrew Knight, son of Suge Knight, who was one of the two men who she brought to that party,
yes,
was the real thief. He was the culprit.
Uh-oh. Now she's claiming that she knows
yes,
it happened because
that Suge Knight's kid was the thief.
Because when she tweeted, it was all lies. Remember?
Yeah. Apparently cops don't buy this story because Lindsay is the target of the investigation now. Now, Sam Magid also told cops that Lindsay contacted him recently and said, I'm sorry, please pray for me.
What? Please return my stuff.
TMZ says they were told yesterday that Sam Magid gave cops the Ziploc bags that were containing the stolen items. Some watches, some sunglasses, some Tiffany monogram silverware was also taken. And I guess maybe they'll dust it for prints or something. I don't know. But the investigation is ongoing. So that all according to TMZ.com.
That's weird.
If, again, it is discovered, or if they come to the conclusion that she was, I guess, attempting robbery or actually guilty of it, that would be a violation of her probation from walking out with that necklace from the jewelry store, which I would assume, given the court's attitude towards her shenanigans,
yeah,
would mean more prison time for Lindsay Lohan.
A judge has had it with her.
Yeah, that judge she deals with is not happy with her. So there you go. There's all the news that's fit to print.
Wow.
A lot of stuff going on today. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I do, it is Tuesday. It's new release day, so I want to give you a real quick recap. If there's something new out there you want to pick up, here's what's on the agenda. New CDs. I only have one here on my list. Alanis Morissette has a new CD called Havoc and Bright Lights you can pick up today. That's released today. Battleship, the movie with Alexander Skarsgård and Liam Neeson, is available today as well. The Lucky One with Zac Efron. Think Like a Man. That's the Steve Harvey movie, also available on DVD today. The Pirates, Band of Misfits, the animated film starring Hugh Grant and Salma Hayek, Starship Troopers Invasion, an animated sequel to the Starship Troopers franchise, TV on DVD, The Walking Dead, a complete second season is available. Sons of Anarchy Season 4, Homeland, the complete first season. Boardwalk Empire, complete second season. That's going to come back in a couple weeks, yeah. I think.
16th.
Jersey Shore, Season 5, also available for you. So there's your recap of what's new for your entertainment dollar. Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine is 26 years old. Leanne Rimes, who I'm told is a regular attending parishioner at the Life Change Community Church.
As long as she can find it on that given day, wherever it is.
No, I'm sure she knows. She goes to the Sheraton, make a right at the lobby bar, go past the bar mitzvah that's happening in the ballroom on the left, and on the right, you can get your...
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
No,
you
it's the Sheraton. Sheraton is where you want to go.
Glenda be there?
Glenda, actually, I understand Glenda does attend the services on a regular basis, so you can hook up with Glenda.
Doesn't it sound like those were Larry King's last words? You just barely get it out.
Larry, you're going to go to heaven, Larry. Will Glenda be there? Probably. She was a good soul there. Singer bassist Max Collins of Eve 6 is 34. Jason Priestley, he's 43. Have you seen the 90210 reunion commercial?
No.
The Old Navy reunion commercial?
No.
With Jenny Garth and Jason Priestley and Luke Perry?
That fails to interest
me. Very exciting. Max Collins, I said that already. Jack Black, our buddy. Star of many motion pictures and Tenacious D, of course, 43 years old today. Shania Twain is 47. Jennifer Coolidge, you know her from the American Pie films. She's Stifler's mom, 51 years old. Daniel Stern is 55. And Luis Guzman from Boogie Nights and Traffic and Community, he is 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Michael Jackson has a new album coming out.
Really?
I'm sorry. I thought Mr. Jackson had left us.
He has left us, and yet he has a new album coming out with new music that you have not heard yet that is supposed to be amazing.
Interesting.
Mm. There are some predicting a number one single off of this new album.
Come on.
Yes. Apparently music that good that has been in the vaults for more than 25 years.
Wow. Why? We don't know. Brand new Internet Roundup tomorrow. Near-death experiences. You should be dead on the program tomorrow. And Disease on Sorry.
Wow.
In studio. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.